Hey, Conlon.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hello, guys. Hello, Phil.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you, Phil, and come over here, Edie, and smell my hot, boozy breath. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs.
So
Stubble.
Put upon.
Mr. and Mrs. Stubble.
Burning his hot, boozy breath into her face.
Hi. And all the ships at sea, hey, they'll see you in Toledo. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast nationwide, still broadcasting via the auspices of the Westwood One Radio Network.
Still have the same amount of stations?
Double nickel. You know, we actually count every day. That's pathetic.
That's good.
But we count every day. 55 affiliate stations throughout America carrying the show. We originate from perhaps the cheapest of the cheap.
Yes.
Radio station WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C.
Yes. Smells like dust.
That is our home radio station. Don and Mike show coming to you, Westwood One, wherever you live in America. We have 5 million Arbitron-rated listeners. And, of course, the management chain goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
Big Al, your radio pal.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy the Gerbil. Big Daddy Mel,
yep.
And Donald Monkey Boy Ephraim.
Thank you.
Here he is to my left and to your right, a man who is was not a part of the carnage today.
No.
He was actually spared from that. Our friend, Guy J. Birdley.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
And, of course, the carnage, that would be the circumstances of yesterday's show that involved a lucky lady, Laura Johnson, winning $10,000.
And a riverboat gamble gone bad. But not for her.
No.
And not for, you know, I think she represents the listeners in general. So, you know, it was our riverboat gamble that went awry.
Yes, now, we do have a budget for this show.
Right.
But frankly, the budget has pretty much been blowed up real good now.
I think everybody should know that when you do that, really enjoy the money when you win it more, because a lot of times when you've got that big dollar figure, there's a person in here putting his ass on the line.
And I did yesterday, and it's quite an ass.
Yes.
That I slip into these size 36 jeans, mm-hmm. And I got a large piece of my ass chewed out today by management, but I want to tell you something.
Something you fully expected would happen.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right.
When we do the next celebrity sound, and we will continue the contest. Oh, yes, we'll continue it. When we do it, at least the first time today.
At least the first time.
We will offer again.
Oh, jeez.
A $10,000 prize.
Oh, my God.
We got to. You've got to.
You're doing it again, aren't you?
You've got to.
You're doing it again. And, you know, I know why you
promised them I wouldn't, but they should know.
They told you not to, and that's why you're doing it.
They should know that they cannot trust me.
How it works.
I am a loose cannon. You know that.
I know exactly what you're doing, because I think that there's no reason to spare our listeners from any of the behind-the-scenes details. You are doing this for the same reason you did it yesterday, because you think that the odds are so astronomical
that no one will win.
That no one will win.
Right.
That you're offering that. But I should tell you that there is still always that one person that's going to call, and it, somewhere deep inside of their brain.
I know that. Which is why I am now, in effect, rolling the dice and putting our careers on the line.
Yeah, I think everybody should know that this is not just a radio contest. This is a roll of the roulette wheel for us.
But, Mike, there are over 5,000 radio stations in America.
Mm-hmm.
If we wear out our welcome at this radio station.
That's true.
We've proven it before.
Yes.
There's another one down the street with a for sale sign.
Absolutely.
You take our microphones, we'll go to that radio station.
Go back to giving away plastic combs on the air.
You know, I have the meetings with all these idiots in the management of the radio station. We set up the contest, and we said the parameters would be anywhere from $500 to $10,000.
Right, man.
That those are in the rules of the contest. They actually make me sit down and go over rules and junk.
Right.
So it's like, then they get mad when we gave away the $10,000. They said, well, why did you offer the $10,000? I said, well, what are the odds that Laura Johnson from Springfield, Virginia, would know it's TV's Lyle Waggoner?
Right.
But she did.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the odds that people are going to know the new one? I don't know.
But the fact is, you have just said it, that the first time we play the Secret Celebrity Lap, you are putting $10,000 of, well, hopefully the station's money on the line.
Yeah, that's right. And so, if they want a can, let them can.
Mm-hmm.
Let them fire.
Mm-hmm.
Put our heads under the guillotine. I'll be honest.
The guillotine, excuse me. The guillotine.
Oh, I used to call it guillotine.
Sure. I said to you in the office, this adds more to this contest than the average crappy radio contest. This people know that, that we're not lying here. This is the truth. This is, they are pissed when this happens.
The people that run this station are really mad at me.
And the only way that I can
really,
make
really, really mad at me for giving away that money.
The only way that I can make this credible is to tell you that, you know, and this doesn't sound all that good. You had very little idea that you were going to give away $10,000. You thought that was the last thing in the world that was going to happen.
Hey, wouldn't have offered it if I thought we were going to, you know,
sure,
blow our nut right there.
Mm-hmm.
$10,000. I mean, this show is famous for being low budget. This
sure
show is famous for paying people $5 each for going to a phone booth.
We like to stretch those dollars out over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. But with that said, you know, Johnny Gambler over here.
You know, we have a budget. We have a budget that is supposed to last us the entire year.
Right.
And, frankly, we're almost out of money now. But
right,
we will roll the dice again today for you.
I'll tell you, you know, around Halloween time, you know, after summer's over, you hear us giving away candy corn, you'll know, you will know that things, you know, didn't go as planned.
I said to these guys who run the station, I said, you know, the number one thing about radio is emotion.
Right.
If you don't have emotion in a radio show,
that's
you've
right
got nothing. I said, yesterday, we had it all going.
Right.
You know, you had real emotion. I mean, Mike, who didn't know who the celebrity is,
didn't have a clue.
But, you know, you had Mike being surprised.
Right.
Mike and I were both genuinely happy,
yep,
that this woman won the $10,000.
Of course.
Right. Rob and I were both disappointed.
You guys both had that. I knew immediately when she guessed that was correct based on your face. You guys think you do the poker look, but you can't. You only do the poker look when the guesses are wrong for me. When you both raise your eyebrows and sometimes it gets sucked into that, but you couldn't do the poker look to
she
fake
had
me
him
out. She got you. Yes,
she had and said hello. And then for the whole rest of the show yesterday, I knew that at some point today I would receive the phone call saying, could you come in a little early today,
right,
so we can discuss this contest with you.
This is the way it works. But, you know, I like the fact that you walked out of that meeting and that you still are willing to
head held high
to put it on the line again. Now you will, I mean, really, let's be honest here. Yesterday was one thing. You were able to go in there, placate the suits, you know, everybody come. If by some miracle,
they'll take us off the air today. I mean, that's not an exaggeration.
The first contestant, they'll think that we're, you know, we're idiots.
If we give away $10,000 today, and that's going to be the only time I'll offer it today.
Mm-hmm.
After that, at least for the rest of today,
right,
at least until Jeremy leaves town again,
sure,
the jackpot will be back down at $500.
That's right. The first time we play the game, it's going to be for $10,000.
$10,000.
We're really behind you 1,000%.
Absolutely.
Because I like the gambling aspect of it.
Yes!
And I also, you know, kind of think that, you know, that the odds are with us on this.
Well, I thought the odds were with us on TV's Lyle Waggoner.
Yeah. I really
did.
Well,
you thought the odds were with us when you gave away the $2,500.
Yeah, I did.
You're a big loser thus far.
You got a kick in the gut. Well, we you know, you can't underestimate our listening audience.
I'm a big loser, but you folks are big, big winners.
Mm-hmm.
Should I play you the laugh now? Should I give you a freebie listen on this laugh?
You know, live more dangerously.
Okay.
Give us a free listen.
Okay, here you go. Here's the debut of the Secret Celebrity Laugh number 3, which at least this hour will be worth $10,000.
Here you go. You're giving a free play here.
Here you go, everybody. Get a good listen. That's it. I defy you. If I had any real balls, I'd offer like $1,000,000. But they would fire me for that. They'd fire me in a friggin' heartbeat. You think you have it already?
Yes, I do.
Write it down. Keep writing it down. Absolutely not.
Okay. All right.
A good guess, though, Mike.
Thank you. Thank
and
you very much.
When they were played for me, one of the guesses that I also offered up.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, because I had about 8 different laughs played for me today, and I picked the one that I thought was the most difficult.
Excellent.
Okay, good. It's not Regis. One of the laughs that Rob gave me was Regis, and Regis is my Yeah, I mean, it was so painfully obvious that
right,
this is Regis Philbin.
Too distinctive.
Okay, so we will play the game in a couple of seconds. Today is Thursday, January 20, telephone number 1-877-365-3636. Oh, and let's start today's show. Here she is, the lady who yesterday took us for $10,000. Here is Laura Johnson on the phone already.
Laura, you doesn't have to call me Johnson.
Don and Mike, you are the greatest.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
I have no clue who this one is.
Oh, good. Yeah, it was just good. Good. Very good.
And you think, boy, you're just starting right over again, aren't you, Laura?
Oh.
This is the way you're going to make a living. You're just going to win contests.
I should.
Wow. Well, Laura, we need to get you down here when the station cuts the check.
Right, no problem.
We need to give you one of those big, giant-sized phony checks to go along with it so we can have our pictures taken with you.
Unfortunately, Laura, due to the fact that you won yesterday, the driveway was not plowed today because they didn't have it in the budget to clear the snow from our driveway so no one can come and go as they please.
Our names will forever be linked, Laura, much as Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky will forever be linked. My name will forever be linked with your name. You are my Monica Lewinsky around here.
Well, I am.
And you didn't even give me like a BJ or anything. That's quite the letdown. So, listen, tell me something. You won the $10,000.
Uh-huh.
When you got off the radio yesterday and you had a chance to sit down and think about it, how did you feel? What are you going to do with your money?
I've already spent it probably at least 10 times.
That's got to be fun. I mean, were you super confident when you called in yesterday?
Oh, I totally knew it.
Oh, wow.
I would have bet you, I don't know, I would have come down and...
$10,000. There you go. Well, how are you going to spend your money? Have you thought about it?
We're making a list.
Checking it twice.
My husband and I are making a list, trying to do the right things,
Must be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says invest it, but...
No, go spend it. Go spend it. Spend it immediately.
Spend it. I mean, who knows if that, Metro bus isn't going to go up over the curb and, take the whole family out.
That is sound money, baby. Spend it. Laura, we look forward to seeing you very shortly to give you your giant fake check along with the real one.
Well, you guys are the greatest. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
There's we urge all contestants to win the really big money on this show to spend it on pie.
Yeah, buy yourself a chocolate pie a mile wide. Listen, before we get on with the show, and I said we have more telephone calls, I promise we'll get right to them. I just have to give you an update about the weather, since we love bitching about the weather.
Did you give a forecast yesterday after we played that tape?
Never did. No.
You never did?
Never gave the forecast. We ended up getting roughly...
They were right.
3 inches of snow.
Once they corrected themselves mid-afternoon, they turned out to be actually dead on. They were very accurate.
And it actually was no big deal. It did not paralyze the Washington metro area, much as they tried, but with their winter storm announcements,
right,
and the storm tracking, and the News 4 weather team, and the Channel 5 with the beep, beep, beep at the top of the screen.
Still didn't change the forecast, which was 3 to 6 inches.
Right. Yeah, and everybody got about 4 inches, and none of the kids went to school, and nobody went to work today, and the roads are dry now, and everything is just fine. Why is it that normally, on a regular weekday morning, I told you, the job that Frieda and I hate the most, the job that we debate the most every day about being parents,
mm-hmm,
is waking our son up in the morning.
Yeah, he's not a morning person.
He's going to be 15 in 2 months, and to wake him up
needs his sleep.
He's generally, I love him with my whole heart,
right?
And he's a really good kid. But first thing in the morning,
mm-hmm,
he's a little SOB. He hates to get up.
Uh-huh.
He's got the bad death breath happening. He pulls the covers over his head. He says,
right,
I don't want to go to school today. And it's a battle every day to get this kid out of bed.
Right. It's got
to
be tough because I know part of you just wants to say, go down, have a cup of coffee, and just say, okay. And then go back upstairs.
I can't do that. And, he
can't. No parent can do that.
He has called my bluff on that, where I have said to him, I've actually said,
okay,
you want to be late for school?
Yeah.
Go ahead. And I go downstairs. And 5 minutes later, I always come up and wake him up again.
Yeah, because at that age, it's your responsibility. You basically have given him permission to sleep in when you say that.
So keep in mind that this is the toughest job every day, waking this kid up. And yesterday, he came home early from school, mm-hmm, because he got a touch of the flu, which we've all had for a while.
Right.
Well, this morning, imagine our surprise at 5:15. When the lights go on, and I rolled over to Frieda and I said, did you see the lights on? It's Bart. Bart's awake. And he turns the lights on. He says, hey, Mom and Dad, it's snowing outside. Do you think I'll have school today?
Yeah, I used to do that.
And I am dumbfounded. I'm sitting up in bed. I said, go back to sleep.
It's a very normal behavior.
He said, I can't go back to sleep.
Right.
Have they made the announcements about the schools yet? And I said, I don't know. And then I just sat there, and he went back to his room, and I looked at him, and I said, hello. Most mornings, we got to drag him out of bed. He's sick.
Right.
Today, the one day that we could have slept in, till 7 o'clock, he comes and wakes us up at 5:15.
That's right.
Because that's the way it is when you're a parent. Then all morning long, all the kids were over, and Bart said, come out, let's go out and play. Let's go out and play. So finally, I relented. I put on the snowsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I put on the gloves and the hat. Went outside, and basically what started as a simple snowball fight
mm-hmm.
ended up being, now that my son is getting older and he's almost as tall as me now,
yeah.
it kind of disintegrated into an actual wrestling match
mm-hmm.
where I think one time he smacked me in the head good with a snowball.
Right.
And I just kind of ran over and gave him one of these and went into my arm and pushed him down a hill, and he slid all the way down the hill. And he got back up, and he came up and he tackled me and he pushed me down the hill.
And he's able to tackle you.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. And it right. ended up for roughly 30 or 40 minutes this morning. When we got done, we're finally both exhausted laying on the ground. We looked at the front yard. No more snow left in the front yard.
Right.
Every single inch of snow had been wiped out by
used
one of us
for ordnance.
Falling down.
Right.
Snow wrestling.
Oh, man.
Absolutely
good.
Love it.
It's cool. You know, I still have that feeling from school. I really do. When we have snow, I get up in the morning and I'm excited about it.
Sure.
But the thing that freaked me out was the paper guy who showed up at 2:00 in the morning to beat the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard, you know, it's got one of those mufflers.
Oh, right.
Right here out in front of the house. And it was so, the low vibration was so intense that I sat bolt upright and I see headlights. You know, so,
oh my.
You're drunk, we're being attacked! You know, I'm in my underwear and I run to the window. You know, and then I see the car drive out of the driveway. I'm like, they might be coming back. And then suddenly, it's 2:00 in the morning and I get my wits about it. Unless, of course, it's the paper. And I run downstairs and I look out and you know, there in the, it hadn't started snowing yet.
Right.
There was the paper and so I was awake and I read the paper at 2:30 in the morning. The weirdest experience ever. I didn't know they get it out way out there at 2:30 in the morning. It was amazing.
That's why you got to keep your paper guy.
Yes. Yeah.
And not your paper boy.
Mm-hmm.
Your paper man, because
right,
the guy who delivers the paper to our house,
yes,
he's got to be 80. He might be a paper lady.
Really?
I
have not seen the paper person.
Hello, honey.
I just, you know, I communicate, I have in the past, I communicate with this individual through the radio. And, you know, the paper has been off the mark lately. And those tips will start coming on a regular basis when those papers are a little more centered.
Gotcha.
I do not like to look to my right as I did 2 mornings ago when I have no shirt on and I'm in my boxer shorts.
Okay, Tony Soprano.
And I run halfway across the lawn and I look over and I see my next door neighbor who's got older kids and is on an earlier schedule day loading up his car with
a kid. He's not putting a shirt on.
No, don't do that, man. That's the first thing. That's before the rest of the family's getting up on my skivvies. Especially 2:00 in the morning.
Oh, we have calls standing by. Hello, here is Mike calling us from Rochester, New York.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mike.
Don, I just want to say you're a stand-up guy. You could have very easily said, no, it's not Lyle Wagner.
Yep. Well, there's no, absolutely no way you couldn't say that was Lyle Wagner.
Well, you can't do that, sir.
You could have thrown somebody else in. I mean, somebody else that sounds a little like, maybe a little Robert Conrad, I don't know, or somebody else.
let me tell you something.
You can't do it. That's how you really get in serious trouble.
That's the real bad stuff. And believe me, there are 5 million policemen that are listening to this show that listen every day that know exactly what we're doing.
Believe me. Our listeners, much as we love them, they would love nothing better than to hang us by our balls from the top of some tree for cheating on a contest.
Absolutely.
No, you can't do it, man.
You gotta do it that way.
You run a contest, the prize, the grand prize, $10,000. She won.
Right.
She won. And as it was pointed out to me today in the meeting, you guys, since the first of the year, you guys have done 9 shows in the studio,
mm-hmm.
and thus far you've given away $12,500. I got to think that when the January ratings come out, they will indicate that we have bought the audience this month.
I certainly hope so.
Well, man,
I certainly hope so.
We will find out. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, my friend. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you?
Hey, Baldy.
Yeah, I have a slight problem that I need some advice from you guys on.
Yeah.
I sent off some money to a guy in Hawaii for a Dreamcast.
You mean a video game system?
Yeah. You know, and it's been about 2 months. Haven't heard from him. Can't get him through the email.
How did you do this transaction?
I sent him a money order.
Why?
Oh, because I had to send him the money for him to send me the Dreamcast.
Why didn't you just, like, go to Best Buy and buy it?
Because I was a lazy-ass person. Didn't want to. Plus, they were out. So.
So a guy advertised on the internet?
Yeah.
Was it on eBay or something like that?
Nope. It was I was searching web pages, and he had one for sale on his.
Because if it's on eBay and it's under $200, if it's $200 or under, they insure it.
I know.
Well, you know, frankly,
yeah.
You deserve to lose the money.
What kind of a dumbass move is that? And if it was, you know, if it was over, I forgot over, there's a certain number. If it's over a certain number, you just call the cops.
Yeah, Mike, someday you're going to tell us about that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Someday Mike has quite the story to tell.
Yeah, my wife and I can't go into the details because there's a lot of stuff that's still pending, but my wife and I were involved in a transaction gone bad over the internet.
On eBay, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it got to the point where, right now it's in the legal system.
Someday that'll be a good story on this.
It'll be a great story. I look forward to it. And, Don, I hope I can tell that story.
I hope it's fully inspired.
I hope I can tell that story in about 2 weeks, hopefully.
Oh, that's good. I think we might be able to hold out here for 2 more weeks before we're fired. That would be ideal.
Hang on.
But that's just dumb to just send somebody money, especially if it's not even on a semi-reputable page like eBay.
Yeah.
Just to send some guy money for a Dreamcast. Please.
All I can tell you is my personal experience. Let me tell you something. You have to be so careful. You just, even if you think based on correspondence back and forth, you have a good relationship with the person, that could be total crap. You just, it's horrible. It really is. And, you know, Don's right. Use the websites that have the, you know, they have things like escrow accounts where you can put money in.
Or go to the store.
Right.
Get off your couch and go to the store.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a product that you can get in a store and you're not getting any real break on the price.
Right. That's how I got my Dreamcast.
I have to know, how much was the money order for?
It was for $180.
Which is what it cost in the store, right?
Yeah, it's $1.99 in the store.
They were out of them, though, at the local store.
Right. Oh, you're not telling the truth now, are you?
Swear to God, they were.
You just said you were lazy.
I know, but I also said after that you can replay the tape if it's recorded.
You can find the Dreamcast, though. It's not sold out. You can find Dreamcast. You really can.
I'm going to be getting one anyhow soon, so regardless. One other thing. Could I suggest for Christmas next year that you buy Bart or yourself a arcade game or a pinball machine?
Right.
And actually, believe it or not.
Here's a money order when you're doing.
Jesus H. Christ. I'm going to take advice from that guy.
Oh, God.
Right. Gotcha. Hello, Don and Mike Show, please. Hello, Tony. Oh, that's line number one. That's the deadline, man.
The deadline. Right now, you press that line. Let me in, little girl.
Are you scared? You're gonna die in there.
That's an old movie reference.
That is from
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist 2, right?
I think it's Poltergeist 2.
Poltergeist 2. Sir. How are you, little girl?
You're gonna die.
And the guy who has the big white Quaker Oats, the big tall white guy, has a black Quaker Oats hat on.
Yeah, it looks like Abe Poland.
Hello. Who looks like Montgomery Burns? And all those press officers that I saw yesterday with him and Michael Jordan.
Excellent.
He looks just like Montgomery Burns.
I'll bring in Michael Jordan and the world will be mine.
And nobody mentioned how Michael Jordan butchers the language. Mm-hmm. I mean, Michael Jordan in this press conference yesterday.
I didn't see the whole press conference.
I watched it on ESPN today.
Mm-hmm.
He butchered the language worse. You know how we used to goof on Magic Johnson for butchering the language?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan butchered the language, or Magic Johnson laughs at Michael Jordan.
And he can continue to butcher it if he brings a winning team to Washington.
Right.
I don't think that's happening.
I don't know.
I really don't.
Hello. You said that, with the salary cap, there's not a lot of stuff he can do anyway,
they're screwed. I mean, they have to pay Juwan Howard, like, $100 million over the next 3 years. Rod Strickland, they're stuck with him.
Yep.
They're stuck with Ike Austin, the center.
And I think everybody around the country should be aware of the fact that after all the hoopla, the Wizards went out and played Wizards basketball last night.
Yeah, they lost to Dallas.
Lost the game with Michael Jordan.
86, something like that.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, all those guys were really scared. That's Esselis last night, weren't they?
And Jordan is going to continue to live in Chicago and commute here occasionally.
Right. Well, but who wants to live here? Please.
That's a sweet gig.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Pardon?
And like the wind, he is gone.
I do have an update for you. We touched on this yesterday about a name from the past someone who's been banned from this show,
Sexpert
Laura Korn, best-selling New York Times author who's written all kinds of books about sex.
Mm-hmm.
She is so annoying. We've had her on the show many times, and as it turns out, we had a falling out with her. I don't even remember exactly why we had a falling out with her, but...
Doesn't matter, as long as we know we had the falling out.
We're having a feud with her, and we told her that the only way that she could make it right to us was to apologize to us on national television.
It was putting all the other diss jockeys in her book.
Yeah, she said, actually in her first book, she came on the show with her first book. In the second book, she said, hey, I dedicated it to you guys. Mm-hmm. And then we looked, and on the page of the dedications, there are roughly 500 disc jockeys, and we were among those disc jockeys.
And then she came into town, and she actually went on another radio station first.
And then when her third book came out, she did have, on one page, she had two pages of acknowledgments.
Right.
On the first page of acknowledgments were like her publisher and her editor and our names. And then on the next page, again, with the 500 disc jockeys.
So she did the same thing, and then the final straw was, I think it was she went on a station in Baltimore.
Right, the same day.
Like in the morning, and then came on our show in the afternoon.
Same day.
We didn't want sloppy seconds.
So we said, that's it, you're done on the show. The only way that you can ever make it right is to apologize to us on national television.
Right.
As it turns out, I think she was going to go on that awful show, The View, or something like that, and then she didn't do it.
So that even got us angrier.
Right, so, you know, she's dead to us. But she called and said that on February 4th, she's going to be on the Fox News channel, and much as it pains me to admit this, that is national television.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, even though nobody watches Fox News channel.
So is she going to be on the show that we were on?
I think she's going to be on the Steve Doocy Morning Show. And she
Have you watched that show once since we were on it?
No.
I haven't either.
She has promised to publicly apologize to us on February 4th, on the morning of February 4th, and she wants to be booked on the show that afternoon. She wants to take the shuttle down that afternoon.
I think we can do that.
So that is the peace offering that has been offered up from sexpert Laura Korn.
Get ready for the headache.
Right. She is annoying times 1,000.
It'll be an interesting dynamic. It has been a while.
And we never bothered to say it had to be an over-the-air broadcast network. It had to be one of the big three or one of the big four. We just said it had to be on national television.
That is correct.
So technically that is national television. I know we have to do a break, but I've got that article on BMs for you.
Okay.
And we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about bowel movements here in a second. Larry Michael is coming on the show today to promote his pay-per-view BattleBots, the miniaturized remote control robots that fight each other with chainsaws and hammers.
Watch BattleBots. I do.
He's coming on the show today.
Go bang your BattleBots.
I do want to get to the tape of Rob and Homo Joe in New York City. We've never heard the second part of their excursion.
Where they went to the Empire State Building.
And they took the carriage ride. And we never called that drunk guy who works at Barney Smith.
That's right. Hilaire.
Hilaire, that's his name.
Yes, Smith Barney.
Smith Barney. What did I say? Barney Smith.
That's a neat name, though. A nice sitcom character name. The Barney Smith Show.
And at some point today, I'm going to need help with this goddamn list that my wife wants me to write. We went out with this new age couple last weekend, okay? And these people, I talked about them, they have the perfect marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 50, they have no kids, he's a professional, she's a professional.
Are their kids out of the house or do they have no kids?
They have no kids.
Okay.
You know, he might not be able to get it up, or she can't make it, whatever. They have no kids.
I want to say this the right way, because I'll use Buzz as an example. And I have Laura and I have lots of couples that are friends that don't have kids, and they all seem to have wonderful, happy marriages.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says about anything, but Rob's taking. Except Rob, you are the exception.
Because kids put a stress on a marriage.
Sure.
Until you have kids, you can actually enjoy.
Yes.
You know, being married. Once you have kids, then it's like you're a grown up.
Mm-hmm. Just different stages. You know, you experience that total freedom of being single. Then you're married, and you have to kind of yield to another individual. And you have kids, and you kind of yield to the kids.
So we went out with these people, and they were saying, "What have you been doing?" And, you know, our answer was nothing.
Right.
We chauffeur our kids and stuff on the weekends, and then when I was working with the Redskins, that virtually was like a 7-day-a-week job for me.
Right.
So we didn't have a lot of spare time. And these guys, this is a couple that gets up every morning at 5:30 and has tea together so they can discuss their day. And they go deep sea fishing together, and they go, hiking together, and they go on those stupid cruises where you pretend you're in a mystery novel.
Hey,
they do all that jive stuff. They go to Vegas once a year together.
Do they peel grapes and dip them in chocolate and feed them to each other naked?
They might as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we were listening to this, and the whole time that they were giving us this spiel
right.
about how incredibly happy they are.
So that would creep me out all the time.
I'm looking at Frida, and she's looking at me like, you know, I married Mr. Loser over there.
Right.
So she starts asking them questions.
Oh, boy.
Now, keep in mind that we've been married longer than they have.
Danger,
okay?
Danger, Will Robinson.
Mm-hmm. We've been married going on 19 years, good Lord willing, creeks don't rise, 19 years this year. They've been married about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting advice from them.
Right.
Okay? Frida says, you guys are so happy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep it together? How do you do it? Well, I'll tell you how. You know, right away I start rolling my eyes. This guy says,
really? I don't trust it.
This guy says that what they did was they sat down and each of them wrote a list of 25 things that they like to do. And then they exchanged lists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the things that you can do when you don't have any children. I guess when you've got nothing but time on your hands, you can sit down and write a list of 25 stupid things you like to do.
25 things.
And they exchanged the list. And they found the things that matched. And those are the things that they made a vow to each other that they were going to do. So,
we were coming out. It's right out of like Parade magazine.
We were coming back from dinner, and I just gave Frida lip service about this, like I do most things. She says, I want to try that. I said, fine, we'll try that. She said, when can we try that? And I said, when the Redskins season is over.
Right.
When I'm not working this extra job.
You were confident over that Tampa Bay game,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, I was positive. The Redskins, much like I thought we weren't going to give away the $10,000 yet.
Well, hey, the gambles haven't worked out very well.
So the Redskins lose, and suddenly my second job is over now until, you know, next summer.
Right.
And the first thing she said to me on Monday morning is, where's your list? I said, well, what list? She said, the list of 25 things.
Right.
And then she mentioned it a couple of days ago. I didn't think it was any big deal. Well, today she says to me today. She hit me right at the worst possible time because we had kids over today,
mm-hmm.
and the kids were downstairs playing in the basement. They'd been outside playing in the snow, and they came in and had cocoa. They were down in the basement, and I kept nudging her, you know, hey, let's go upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportune time for a, you know,
mm-hmm.
a nice quickie. The kids are downstairs. They're all, you know, mesmerized and watching a movie down there.
That's on your list.
So she acquiesced.
Mm-hmm.
So we went upstairs. We had some glorious relations. We were done with the glorious relations. I was having a real nice moment, you know, a real Calgon bath oil beat moment, just laying back there, going, that was nice. And then she said, hey, have you thought about that list? Right away. I mean, well, that had already happened because the act was over, but impossible to shrivel anymore. I think it actually went inside. You know what I mean? It's like the turtle went inside the shell. She dropped this bomb on me, she said. Do you know that this weekend there's a school dance that Bart is going to on Saturday night, and he's been invited to spend the night at some other kid's house on Saturday night? I said, oh, that's nice. She said, so, Saturday night, we will have our first list date.
Oh.
That's what she's calling it now, a list date.
Gary, who gets to pick?
Well, we're supposed to make the list, and we're supposed to see which ones match up, and then we'll decide from there.
You see, it lacks perfection. The idea lacks perfection.
Well, it's a stupid idea, Mike. It's a dumb idea that I don't endorse, but I'm going to be forced into, because
going after dinner and going to the movies will be on the list.
Yeah, and that's about it for me.
I think you'll be okay.
Well, she probably won't put those on her list. I think on her list, she's going to have more exotic junk that she wants. And then we get back to the whole thing where she said, you know, we really don't have that much in common.
Oh,
I mean, she's mentioned this to me before. You've heard this before.
Yeah.
I said, well, honey, we've been married almost 20 years. How much do we have to have in common together? You know what I mean? We enjoy being with each other. Why do we have to do this? She said, well, you know, John and Joan. You know, again, John and Joan with the pith helmets. Well, John and Joan went on an African safari.
Right.
She said, would you ever go to Africa with me? I said, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, besides the fact that it's outrageously, you know, expensive,
mm-hmm.
that's like the worst vacation I could ever imagine. That you pay someone money to take you to a goddamn swamp where you ride on the back of an animal and you look at other animals, and you sleep in a tent, and you have to take a crap in the bushes.
I'm with you probably 1,000%.
I mean, that's
amazing. Not a safari. You'd like a...
I'd love to go.
You'd love to go.
Of course you would. Of course you would.
Always wanted to do that.
No modern conveniences.
A camera safari.
Like 1,000,000 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you get a chance of getting killed.
Oh, that's the fun.
See, with me, it's self-preservation. I mean, you're out there in one of those Range Rovers, and you're looking at an elephant, and he decides to get pissed.
Right.
And he charges you, and you're dead.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Better a Metro bus. Plus, you know, with all the conflicts that they have over there,
mm-hmm.
in those countries over there, I read an article about a safari group where they were taken by some terrorists.
Every town,
the
every state has its bad neighborhood.
Real potential of disaster.
No, I would never do that. I would never go to Africa.
No.
Never. And she said,
I mean, it's beautiful. I certainly would love to see the country,
mm-hmm.
but I'd like to see it from like a protective bubble.
To see it on a videotape.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to go there, for goodness sake.
But that's just one of the things that these two, you know.
No, you're not going to be doing Africa on Saturday, man.
No, but that is how I'm supposed to be thinking about this. I'm supposed to think about things. Really, what I'm supposed to really do is not write down a list of things that I want to do.
Think of things that you might like to do that she really likes to do.
Yeah, that's really the whole exercise.
Right.
And frankly, I don't want to do it.
Pressure's on.
What if you could, off the top of your head, if you could think of one thing that you enjoy, that your wife loves to do, that both of you love to do together? This is a sad announcement.
Outside of sex.
And really,
in sex, you enjoy that a lot more than she
does. Oh, yeah. She's not a willing participant
right.
most times. Outside of going to the movies or going to dinner.
Yeah.
Or doing something that revolves around our kid.
Right.
Nothing. I mean it. But, you know, that's me. I mean, that's the argument I get in with this lady. I say...
I'm not gonna stand up here and, like, pretend like you're on an island.
I said... The whole time you've known me, we've been married almost 19 years. We dated for a year before we got married, so we've almost had 20 years together.
Mm-hmm.
I've not changed.
Right.
It's not like I was one way before we got married, and then I was another way after we got married. I've always been this way.
Right.
I've always been a recluse. I've always been a hermit.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy going out to dinner or going to the movies, but that's about it, man.
I think if you enjoy going out to dinner and going out to the movies... You know, those two things, but you enjoy doing it with that other person, and you've been married 19 years.
That's... And I do, but that's not enough for her. Not enough.
What are some of the things you and your wife enjoy doing, Marcia?
Unfortunately, we don't have the time or money to do a lot of the things that we'd like to do, but mostly we just hang out together. We do get along well.
What are you all about? You don't have the time. You,
go to movies.
You always talk about you don't have the time.
You work 1 hour a day. You got no kids.
Well, no, I mean, I do show prep in the mornings. My wife is at work. It's necessary for her to work.
Plenty of time.
That's when we have to clean the house, do the grocery shopping, and all those kinds of things.
You guys could go to fly to Africa on the weekend and make it back in time for the show.
I wish I could.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with
the phone. We're sorry. Your call did not go through.
You could go to Africa right now and still be back in time to do your news show today, bud. You really could.
Yeah, it's a while.
It's still 2 hours till the news at least.
Take the Concorde.
You could do it, man.
I'd love to.
I know you would.
That'd be like one of your number one, top five?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely. Absolutely.
Yuck.
Hello?
Hi, honey.
Well, hi, boo-boo.
Listen, I'm talking about the list right now.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that.
I'm discussing the list.
Have you put your list together, Frieda? I'm curious to hear what's on your list.
My list will take 10 seconds.
Give me some off the top of your head.
Name some off the top of my head?
Yeah, don't repeat a question with a question, please.
All right.
That is a crutch that's used by our listeners, Frieda.
No, I'm thinking. I like to rollerblade. I like to horseback ride.
Yuck.
I like to read. And last night, we had kind of almost a book club, you and I. You didn't notice, but I noticed, and I was happy about it. Because we had read the same book, and we discussed it.
Oh, we did. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
It was a 10-second discussion.
Yeah,
You got Frieda to read a John Madden book?
No, it's
a romancy book.
A stupid book, Random Hearts. I read it on an airplane.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, it was your book, and I just borrowed it.
She had nothing to read, so she read it.
Okay, what else I like? I like tennis. I love going on walks with the dogs.
Yeah.
I like going on a picnic. I like...
Funny, it's look at it outside. Snowing outside.
Well,
you're not going to go on a picnic.
I'm talking about all types of weather.
No, I'm talking about for this weekend. But this weekend for Saturday night. And for Saturday night...
You know, Saturday night, you can't go horseback riding. Or
right.
It's got to be a nighttime activity.
You can't.
Like dinner or a movie.
What? And people on Saturday nights, I love to go to plays. I like to go to see music. Marty and I go to see plays and music all the time.
Jesus.
We go to see dance.
Why not just drive a nail through my forehead?
Well, you know, what other kind of things are there to do on a Saturday night? We either go, I wouldn't even mind going to see
Riverdance. Riverdance might be in town.
Oh, shut up.
I wouldn't mind going to see a comedian, even though I know that they're not voiced.
Oh, honey, but, you know, that's awful. We've done that before. They're never funny.
All I'm saying to you is my list would really take literally 10 seconds because I'm agreeable to most things. You just don't like to do anything.
I like to eat dinner. I like to go to the movies. And you have to admit this. And I told you this. There's no one else in the world that I would rather spend time with than with you.
And it's usually a movie you would like to see, too.
Well, it's funny how it works out that way.
Yeah, right.
Well, what movie out there would you like to see right now?
Oh, I'd like to see Magnolia.
Yeah,
of course you would.
This time of year, you were setting yourself up for that question. There are
you don't want to see Stuart Little, huh?
I saw Stuart Little. I saw it with Bart.
Stuart Little kicked ass.
I know. I'd like to see Stuart Little.
I like Stuart Little.
I took a bunch of kids to see.
Did you like it, Frida?
It was a little kid's movie, but it was okay.
Yeah, the poor little, last movie I went to see was Pokemon, so Stuart Little was like watching Gandhi.
You know what movie turned out to be good, too, was Galaxy Quest.
I refuse to go through that one,
It turned out to be funny. I only went because my mom wanted to. See, that's what you do when you love someone. When you love someone, you go to a movie that they want to see because it makes them happy.
All right, this is what, if you want to know what it's like being in my house, this is what it's like being in my house.
Well, you know, why don't you just give up? You can't do it. You can't even think of 25 things you would like to do by yourself.
And why is that a crime?
Yeah, it's not
why
a crime.
Why is that a crime?
It's just that we won't do anything together. Not a crime.
No, we could. Why can't we just do normal stuff
we've
together?
We've lasted 18 years without having anything in common.
Why can't we just go to the movies and go to dinner Saturday night?
That's what I thought we probably would end up doing.
Beautiful. That's a very nice night out. What's wrong with two people who enjoy each other's company, going to dinner, talking at dinner, going to a movie, talking about the movie after the movie, and then coming home?
There's nothing wrong with that. That's just fine.
Right.
Nope. Doesn't matter that I would like a little bit more out of life. It makes sense. You know, it's not important.
That's why you have friends.
I know. Thank you.
All right. Love you.
All right. Goodbye.
I said I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I wrote down 8 like in 5 seconds for you.
For me, what did you write down?
I wrote smoke cigars, jet ski, paintball, go to a football game, play poker, go to the movies, go to dinner, go to a rock concert. Certain rock concerts you enjoy going to.
That's
like
true.
You enjoy going with your son to Van Halen, so that counts.
And Huey Lewis.
If it's the right concert, you'll go.
8 things. But okay, let's go through those 8 things. Does my wife like to smoke cigars? No. She yells at me when I do. What was the second thing?
Right, on my way. I'm going to throw another one. The second one was jet ski.
She doesn't like to do that. And it's too cold to do that.
I put go fishing because didn't you go out on that boat one time and go fishing?
Doesn't like to go fishing though.
I thought really
no.
Now technically, when you go golfing with your son, am I able to put that on the list because you do enjoy that
with him?
But it's still something you enjoy doing. This has nothing to do.
That's true.
With the other person.
See, I don't like doing stuff like that with my wife though, because she's a pisser.
See, that's where I think the list becomes complicated because I think you're not alone. There are a lot of things that guys really enjoy doing with either other guys or the son.
My wife and I used to play tennis all the time, but it got to the point where we couldn't play tennis anymore. Because I got tired of getting my ass beaten. I get tired of getting run around the court while she stands there. You know, I'm having a freaking heart attack running left to right and left to right while she just stands there and puts her racket up and makes me run left to right and left to right and left to right. So I finally, this is not fun. I don't want to do it. Unless we come up with some type of an activity that I at least have an outside chance of winning, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
What else you got?
I'm up to, let me see, 1, 2, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm up to 12.
Okay. Play them on me.
Okay. Smoke cigars, jet ski, paintball, go to a football game, play poker, go to the movies, go to dinner, go to a rock concert, go fishing, play video games, surf the net, shop at Nike outlets.
I should be married to you.
I really should. Based on 15 years of around Christmas time trying to figure out, and then you finally told me, you're a simple man with a simple,
Wish you would get that. Steve. Oh, now, Steve, I don't want to hear this. Steve is going through a divorce. What does that have to do with me, Steve?
Well, what your wife is doing is she's telling you the things that bother her and you know, cause her problems.
My wife has no problems, Steve.
Well, you better listen because she'll skin you alive in a divorce, as much money as you make.
Oh,
and then you'll have to
Steve,
do all this with a girlfriend.
I feel sorry for Steve. I really feel bad for Steve.
Steve, listen. One thing about me and Frida, we're never breaking up.
Did you see it coming? Did you see it coming, Steve?
No, it happened pretty quick.
Steve, and, I'm sorry that happened to you, but don't try to transfer that to me, Steve. How long were you married, sir?
20 years.
Oh,
20 years.
Man, any kids?
Four.
Four kids.
Wow.
Grown up?
7 to 18.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Well,
what can I say? You're a big loser.
Oh,
God. I'm a big winner in marriage. I'm sorry. See ya.
Thanks.
Well, listen, a guy called to bust my balls, turns out to scream, going through divorce, sounds to me like Frida wants a divorce. That's what the guy called to say.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the case, no.
Right.
Let me just double check on that.
we're all
very, very secure in our relationship.
I think you'd know. You would think so, Buzz.
Yeah.
You would think so.
Might be up against the wall on your list.
Well, that's okay. There's lots of stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I've made a list of four things I think you and Frida like to do, both of you, that you could do together.
Like what?
Going to movies and dining, which has been mentioned before. You both like to read, reading together, and being with friends.
Reading together.
Right.
Yeah.
See, but that's not really doing it together, is it?
Well, I guess if you're lying in bed reading it.
It's Sunday, you're hanging out in the living room, you both drape your legs over the furniture, and you read.
Please. You're so Rob Reiner-ish.
Christ, but you live in a fantasy world.
When Michael met Marcia.
Listen, I gotta get news for you about it, what it's really like to be married, okay? Sunday morning, hello?
I have an activity you two could go to. It might work.
What's that?
It's something that I've done before, and it's fun.
What?
I've done it with my wife, and I've done it with my nephew.
What?
You go to any public place, and you goof on people.
She doesn't like doing that.
She doesn't like
it when I do that to people.
Really?
I mean, no.
She
doesn't get bad karma.
Even if you play the name game, we've probably done it together, like in the...
I know, you and I do it all the time.
In airports.
She doesn't
sure.
like that?
Okay, but you do, so I'm writing it down for you.
Hello, Michelle.
I think you should take her bowling or ice skating.
Well, I can't ice skate. I do like to bowl.
You know,
that is
bowling.
That is a good idea. I will ask her about that.
You can even take her dancing, you know.
No, I couldn't do that, honey. I can't do that.
Well,
I'm not a dancer,
man.
Go
bowling.
All right, I'll ask her to go bowling. That is an excellent solution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That is excellent. See, that's something I do like to do.
Bowl.
Well, now get off the phone, woman.
What's up?
Woman? Woman! Listen to me. If I get that goddamn beep, beep, beep. Two phone lines going into my house, and I can't answer on either one.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through.
You know why? Because everybody's at home right now because nobody went to work today. All the lines are jammed.
Ridiculous.
Oh, hello, Dee. Dee? Hey, Dee, baby.
Yes.
Yes.
I have to tell you.
What?
You will increase your Monica factor if you participate willingly in these activities.
Oh, thank you,
to me,
Dee.
Sounds like a woman that's saying it's got to be this way or nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but we're more... You're saying she's not a willing participant. Maybe she's not willing because she feels like you won't give to her.
Honey, listen, there is a certain amount of sarcasm that is included in my comments. I do not have to rape my wife to have sex with her, okay?
I understand.
I think she kind of almost liked it today when we did.
But wouldn't it be great after you were coming home from ice skating, she did do Monica right in the car?
Oh, please. Okay, it's another woman living in a fantasy world. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm up to 19.
19. Great.
Wow.
Mike, will you marry me?
I make fun of people in public places, which is an activity you could do with another person.
Sure.
Bowling, go to arcades, walk the boardwalk, go skiing, and go snowmobiling.
Oh, she hates most of that stuff.
She hates the snowmobiling?
Yeah.
Mm. She don't like that.
She goes skiing with me.
You do both like to ski.
Yeah, we do love to ski. I'm so angry at this telephone system.
I am so angry.
Okay, let me give it one more try. The other thing is, I know she's sitting there with the radio on right now. That's going, oh, listen to him trying to call me.
Oh, why? Were you?
why you? You, I ought to you.
You.
Okay. Enough on that. I'll work that out in my own time. I got so many problems right now.
Well, Mike's got you off to a good
start. I got the problems with the $10,000 giveaway. I got to come up with a list of the 25 things for my wife.
I'll throw something out that's really pathetic. I don't know if I could come up with like 15 of my own. Honest to God, I don't think I can. I'm not all that expensive.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to get this guy, John, this friend of ours. I'm going to try to get this guy, this Poindexter, to come on the show.
Okay.
And I you would love talking to this guy because he's one of these. Hey, that's a campy idea.
Right.
We're going to go on a cruise, and it's a mystery cruise, and we pretend that we're in an Agatha Christie novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite campy. Okay. Let's try to give away $10,000.
All I've got so far for myself is collecting fine art and Swedish massage. I'm up against the wall.
Tone, tapping, touch, tone. $10,000. Right now, right here.
It's getting better. It's starting to come to me. Helping the poor.
Oh, shut up. 1-877-365-3636 is the toll-free number. You get a shot at one secret celebrity laugh that could be worth
$10,000. Were you almost going to say $1,000 like you were instructed to?
Yeah, almost. But I caught him. Whoops. Caught him. The thought police almost got me. $10,000. You want a shot, you got it coming right.
This is the double.
Maryland.
Me. I know you want closure before we get our caller 100.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, hello, boo-boo.
Hello, darling.
Well, what's up? I'm watching Love is a Many Splendored Thing while I paint.
It's a very, celestial seasonings kind of thing to do.
Right, with the snow falling outside.
Well, I could be watching Oprah.
But all the kids must be out, right?
Yeah, I should call them in probably when it gets dark.
Okay. Listen, are you divorcing me?
What, do I have to say for 100% sure? Because I think if I, it makes you work a little harder if you think there's an outside possibility.
Well, of course, it's always an outside possibility. I'm just asking you today.
No, not today.
Not today.
You know,
okay.
I don't really believe in divorce. My family doesn't believe it. We believe in long, unhappy marriages.
Right. Gotcha. Love you, honey.
All right, love you, boo-boo.
All right, because
I knew like some guy right after I got done talking with you.
Did my boyfriend call you?
About our list. Oh, you mean Sam?
No. No, I wasn't
having
any names.
Okay,
well,
I was joking.
Right. Okay, well, you know of Sam down in Jacksonville.
You were very sensitive there.
Well, we got done having that discussion about the list, which I think we all agree is rather stupid, even you.
Mm-hmm.
But then this guy called, and I guess his wife has just dumped him.
Yeah.
He's been married 20 years.
Well, you know, I really do think that both the man and the woman should not be so complacent that they don't even try. And I appreciate the fact that you are even considering the list, that you're making a little bit of effort, not a whole lot.
You don't tell everybody like what I really said to you last night. What did I really say to you last night? Don't you remember?
That I was your friend?
Yeah.
That you loved me, that you'd do whatever I wanted to do?
Yeah. I say that in real life.
Yeah, that was sweet.
I just don't say that on the radio because that's so queer to say on the radio.
You have to present the strong man image on the radio.
You're so macho.
That's right.
Around the guys.
Yeah, we all have to do that. We do that on the air. We do that off the air around here.
And last night, she shut me out last night. We got home. I got home. We sat down. The three of us had dinner. Frieda, Bart, and myself. I mean, a nice family dinner. We got done with dinner, and I got some stuff in the mail. So I'm looking at these letters in the mail. And she came over, and she said to me, can I talk to you for a second? I said, yeah, just give me a second. Let me get through this mail.
Yeah, you didn't even answer me.
Well, I thought I said, give me a second. And then the next thing you know, she's pouting. And I went over to her, and I said, listen, I'm sorry that I was wrapped up in that letter, but now I'm all ears. What do you want to talk about? And then at that point that she says, never mind. The moment has passed.
You weren't there when I needed you.
Now I'm watching the Iron Giant. I said, wait a minute. You're watching a cartoon.
The Iron Giant. That's just a cartoon.
You are watching a cartoon. But anyway, I digress. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, all right. Goodbye, boo-boo.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I got my list. I did my list during the commercial break.
For me or for you?
For me.
Let's hear them.
Go to restaurants, go to movies, go to theater, play golf, go skating, go skiing, go to the mall. There's a lot of shopping on this list because I do enjoy that, actually. Go to the bookstore, go to Price Club, go to Target, go to concerts, horseback ride, bowl, rent motorcycles, play tennis, go to a bar, go for a drive, cook, play drums, dance, fishing, go to playground with kids, watch TV, surf net, play board games.
So you should be married to my wife, Mike.
I will tell you that there are a couple on that list that I would do under a slight amount. It would have to be the right type of activity within that subcategory.
And technically, I think putting go to Target,
yeah,
you know, all of that technically
would fall under shopping.
Right.
I'm pathetic. What can I say?
Shopping. I hate shopping.
See, I don't mind shopping.
Sure, I do.
I really don't. You know, I don't mind shopping. I don't mind like bopping out to the mall. I dig that.
I hate people. Hello.
I am the 100th caller.
Yes, you are, my friend. What is your name?
My name is Derek.
Derek, where are you calling from?
Haymarket.
Derek, you have won the talking South Park doll, courtesy of Comcast and Cox Cable In Demand. See South Park, bigger, longer, and uncut, tonight on pay-per-view.
Excellent.
My friend, I want you to feel no pressure.
Okay.
But I want you to know that very likely, if not my job or Mike's job, certainly Buzz's job hangs in the balance.
That's right.
Because if we give away the 10 grand right now...
Yeah, they're going to have to cut some salary.
There will be a sacrificial lamb.
That's right.
And as you heard Buzz say just moments ago, he is so tight for money.
That's right.
And so tight for time that he cannot afford, nor have the time, to go anywhere and do most anything.
Please don't send our newsman out into the snow. I beseech you.
Good luck. Listen, all BS aside, if you get it, you win $10,000.
Excellent.
And I hope everybody appreciates this, because right now my nuts are out there on the chopping board. So good luck. We will play the new Secret Celebrity Laugh, Secret Celebrity Laugh number 3. Identify this secret celebrity and win $10,000 just like Laura Johnson did. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Please don't answer until Mike sings like.
God.
Like the G-Man. Good luck.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There is the newest secret celebrity laugh. Now, the jackpot technically goes between $500 and $10,000. But you're probably going to be the last guy to get offered 10 grand for a laugh.
God.
Listen, life is not fun if you don't take some chances.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Tell us now, for $10,000, who is that?
Is it Leah Remedy?
Could you be more specific?
Leah Remedy.
Did you say Leah Remedy?
Yes.
Leah Remedy.
Yeah, Remedy.
Which is it, please?
Your friend, Leah Remedy.
Her. No!
We're sorry.
No, absolutely not. Not Leah Remedy. Remedy.
You guessed so.
Well, thank you, my friend. Remember, every guest is a
good
for
you. All right, thank you
for listening to the show, and hold the line, please.
Thank you.
Okay. Bullet dodged.
Thank God.
Next time, the jackpot will be between $500 and $1,000.
Very good. Looking forward to it.
But sometime soon, after they forget about them, and they will, because they always do.
They do. You know, they don't pay attention.
There'll be some other problem that comes up that they will focus on, and they will forget that we gave away $10,000. We'll offer the 10 grand again.
Yeah, you'll sneak in one of your little riverboat gambles, and then, you know, somebody will be smarter than us, and bingo, we'll get beaten for 10 grand again.
Well, don't know how that girl got Lyle Waggoner. And she even said TV's Lyle Waggoner when she answered.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Ouch!
Very, very sad.
Ouch, that.
Very happy for her.
Okay, let's talk about BMs.
Ah, BMs.
I mentioned on yesterday's episode that you're having another colonic episode.
Mm-hmm.
Having some colon problems.
And incidentally, went to the doctor. You know, he gave me little pills to take for my... and bingo.
Oh, good.
Yeah, 100%. Doing great. But that will not keep me out of the procedure that I have to go through. Actually, the day of our Las Vegas style show,
the colonoscopy on Feb 2nd.
Yeah, I think it's the same day.
Oh, good.
So, you know, if I show up at the Las Vegas style show with one of those little hoses sticking out of me, you'll know that I was running late.
We got a letter from a medical student who goes to a medical school in the state of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be U of M. Might be University of Massachusetts.
Okay.
They have a good medical school.
I think they do. I know that there are tons of colleges up there.
Guy sent a letter from a medical journal about stools. They have an entire chapter in this medical book.
We're not talking about bar stools here either.
About feces and stools. Let me see. They have quotes.
Yeah, this article is so funny. But
quotes from the stools themselves?
No, quotes from people talking about stools. But it's so funny because they're taking a funny subject and having a serious discussion about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Right. For certain doctors, stools are serious business.
For instance, New York City doctor Donovan Spears says, quote, stools don't have to be well-formed logs.
Oh, they don't.
They can disperse in the toilet water. They can break down. Some medical experts argue that stools should float. Others believe that healthy bowel movements should touch bottom because of the bulk and fiber content.
Interesting. I didn't know that there was all of this differing opinion.
Controversy. Most stools will stink. Dr. Frank Rothness, who doesn't buy either argument. Whether it floats or sinks really doesn't seem to make any difference.
I agree.
Most stools stink. This isn't a medical book. You mean
most stools stink? I mean, who did the research to figure that out?
You got a slave your whole life to send your kid to medical school so your kid can go to medical school and read in a book that some guy's BM stinks?
What'd they do, farm that research out to the first year med students?
All right, let me see. One of the most common complaints is hard feces.
Yes.
Infrequent, difficult elimination.
Yes.
Better known as constipation. Constipation may contribute to autoimmune diseases and colon or breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I think they'll do a whole thing about how women have an increased chance of breast cancer if they have constipation.
Really?
Wow. Didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Then they got a thing about diabetes, the kidney, the digestive diseases.
Serious stuff. I bet mine's in there. I bet buzzing mine is in there, the digestive disease.
Yeah, sure. Diverticulitis has a whole paragraph.
Yeah, of course it does.
But then
I only stop on that because it almost killed this man.
Mm-hmm. But you get to all the medical stuff, and then they have a chart. The stool chart.
Ah, the stool chart. Do you think we could blow it up to poster size?
And they have signs, and apparently if you see these traits in your stool, this is your key to if you're having a healthy BM or not.
Okay.
Ah. Okay?
Good.
Did anybody watch Everybody Loves Raymond on Monday night?
Yes.
Did Raymond call his wife a BM at some point in that show?
I don't think so. You're a BM.
I think he did.
Stay out of here, you BM. Come on.
Well, they were having an argument about the kid, and he walked out of the room.
Oh, you know what? He did. I remember it now. He did call her that.
Well, he called
her
a BM.
And I was surprised. Yeah.
BMs were used in the 60s, 50s, and 60s. I think BMs were the popular word to use. You know,
that was a medical term as far as mommies were concerned.
Where's Dad? Dad's taking a BM.
He's having a BM. How are his BMs, doctor? We'll watch. Is there anything? No, I don't. I don't notice anything unusual with his BM. Did he have a nice BM? Do you need to make a BM?
When's the last time you had a BM?
When's the last time you had a BM?
Of that.
Do you think probably that sentence used more than...
That's the number one sentence.
When was the last time you had a BM?
I don't know, Mom. You know, would you like to hear? When's the last time you had a BM, Mom?
I think you need to say, if you have a nice BM, and it's have a nice BM. Not take. That was evil. That was bad. Because take was moving dangerously close to using another word for the BM.
Yeah, you had to be have. Did you have a nice BM? Yeah. Have you had a BM today yet? Yeah.
I think I probably would have gotten in trouble even if I said I have to take a BM. If that was the case,
it's like I have to take an F.
Yeah, right.
Of course, G. Gordon Liddy would say, did you have a nice BAM?
BAM. Thank you.
BAM.
Okay, here we go. All about BM.
Good.
Very good. This is going to be one of those segments on the program that could be considered educational.
Mm-hmm. This is from a medical digest. If your stools are black, tarry, or sticky, how would you know if they're sticky?
You look.
Oh, come on. How do you know something's sticky unless you touch?
By looking at the paper.
Black, tarry, and sticky. I don't look at the paper much.
You were asking, and I was telling. I was not trying to revisit that subject, and I don't care to.
Black, tarry, sticky.
It's bad.
That is bleeding in your upper digestive tract.
Mm-hmm.
The black color comes from digested blood cells.
Yeah. Right.
Now, let's say that you have very dark brown stools,
mm-hmm.
BMs. That could mean that you ingested red wine the night prior, or that your diet has too much salt or not enough vegetables.
Okay. Yeah.
If your stool is glowing red or magenta,
that was the one that really surprised me yesterday.
Then you've simply eaten beets or other reddish foods.
Okay.
Hey, where's that tape we have of Oprah talking about her BM?
That's right.
We have a tape of Oprah talking about how she had red BMs and
you're talking about her urine.
Oh, right, her urine.
Yeah.
I know we still have got that, Robbie, and it's right over in that rack somewhere. She's talking about this. She was mentioning to Stedman that she had bad pee.
And she was freaking out about it, and then she found out from the doctor that it was beets.
I can only imagine Oprah's BMs.
Oh, Stedman is a lucky man.
That Oprah. I bet she has nice BMs 2 or 3 times a day.
Oh, absolutely. Now that she's big again.
I had this big scare this summer. I had, because I kept, everybody urinates, so that's not, a big deal.
If you're lucky,
you are. And so, my urine was turning orange, and then was getting oranger, and then redder and redder. And so, I called Seven, and I said, God, I don't know how to break it to you, but something's really bad, really awful wrong with me. And so then I went to the doctor, and you know what it was?
Licorice.
Beets. I've been eating too many beets at the salad bar.
Can do it.
Because it got redder and redder and redder, so I thought, I am really sick. But it was just beets.
And if a urine was red, imagine BMs.
She called Stedman in there to check it out.
Sure. Stedman, look at my BM.
Yes, dear.
He doesn't have to every day anyway. That's not part of his job.
Wipers! Stedman!
Oh, honey. That is such a beautiful BM. May I have that one, honey?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that BM.
Add it to his collection.
I do love that. Can I keep that one?
Of course, Stedman.
That's especially nice. You had corn last night.
Oh, God.
I love you, honey. Nice BM.
Then he goes to work. He keeps it in his briefcase.
If your BM is light green, you're consuming too much sugar, or you're having too many fruits and vegetables with not enough grains or salt.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever had a light green.
Now, Buzz, I've never really thought about your BMs.
Right.
But if I was to categorize yours, I would say that yours are probably pale or clay-colored. I don't know why, just because you're an old dude.
Well, I don't think that they are. But thanks for the compliment.
If your stools are pale or clay-colored,
never seen that.
That means you're having minimal amounts of bile excreted, perhaps because of gallbladder or liver problems.
No.
Don't wish that on you, Buzz.
No, I don't have that.
If I was going to pick a color, that would be the color.
Rest easy, my friend. Pick a color, any color.
If your BMs are bloody or mucus-colored, covered, that could mean... Are you actually taking notes on this?
I am. I think this is fascinating. Yeah, well, Buzz and I both have digestive problems. We take this seriously.
I'm hanging this chart in the bathroom. Bloody or mucus covered means hemorrhoids, an overgrowth of certain bacteria in your gastrointestinal
tract,
colitis, Crohn's disease, or colon cancer. Red blood usually means the ailment is located near the end of your digestive tract. Seek medical advice immediately if you have blood or mucus.
Yeah, they don't mess around with that.
If your BMs are pencil thin and ribbon-like, a polyp or growth in your colon may be narrowing the passage. If your BMs are large and... this is the Rob Spiewak BM, I believe.
Okay.
If they are large and floating with greasy film on toilet water...
gross.
That means your digestive system isn't getting the full nutritional use of food.
Either that or you're eating those chips with that Olean stuff in them.
Yeah, the Olestra.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one I would describe as my own.
All right.
Loose and watery.
Oh, dear.
Sometimes with undigested foodstuffs.
Oh, God.
Just being honest.
Yeah, I know.
That a possible cause of diarrhea, food poisoning, don't think so. Lactose intolerance, I'm not. Antibiotics. Well, I had taken some for my finger.
I don't know.
Dietary changes.
Constantly.
Travel, anxiety, yes, stress, yes.
There it is.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, you never know.
Hello.
Hello.
Let me see. And this one I would describe as the Jeremy Coleman BM.
Okay.
Small, hard, round pellets.
Yes, what does that mean?
Constipation.
Right, it's me.
Even if you defecate frequently.
Yes.
Possible causes, too much dry food, including protein, not enough vegetables.
Yeah, it's me.
Laxative abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Worries.
No, I don't abuse laxative. I said, knowingly, I do that, and I want to go on the record and say I don't.
Also, irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, my God.
alternating bouts of diarrhea and constipation. Again, irritable bowel syndrome. This chronic condition can be aggravated by red meat, spices, sugar, alcohol, lack of fiber, allergy-causing foods, irregular hours, and chaotic relationships.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God!
And
help me, please!
And listen, they actually identify this. If your BM, and this is what it says in medical journal.
Your BM.
Smells really bad. And who's had a sweet-smelling BM?
Well, but, I mean, there are individuals, I think, that have to pay attention. And I don't know if Eric Bickle is on his way to do the Sports Junkie show right now. But if he's listening, pay attention.
If your BM smells really bad, you have an imbalance of intestinal bacteria, or you're eating too much animal protein, which can putrefy in your digestive tract.
Really?
Really.
That is the most fascinating segment. And, you know, I have a few categories on there. I have a few categories.
I would be, I meant that. I'm the loose and watery.
Now, I'm surprised that...
Sometimes with undigested foodstuffs.
I'm surprised at Mike's constipation because you drink a lot of water, and that's one of the best ways to prevent constipation. I don't understand how that can even happen with as much water as you drink.
Well, I mean, it only happens once in a while, and it happens based on the fact that it happens... You know what it happens? Right. It happens on this protein diet. It happens more on the protein, and they say that in the book, if you're eating too much protein. And that's... When you eat too much protein, you don't have this problem, but most people do. That's why they write about it in these diet books. If you eat too much protein, it kind of affects you that way.
Not me. I crap every morning, man. I mean, when I come out, I turn a water faucet on. I swear to God. Of course, I get up in the morning and I drink 2 liters of water.
Yes.
First thing. I mean, before I even take a crap in the morning, I drink 2 liters of water.
But even with the water, you're not supposed to... The kind you have are not the kind you're supposed to have.
I know.
What are they? You know the one thing they didn't put down there?
They didn't put the perfect BM.
What's the perfect one? Is it the rounds of this with no more order than a hot biscuit?
I guess you started out by saying that doctors don't agree, you know, whether it should float or not. And
yeah,
Let me see what the article
ends up saying.
It should float, and then when you flush, it should completely disintegrate.
Let me see.
Fluffy.
The rest of the article is just ways to improve your digestive system and to keep your BMs healthy.
Keep this around. Don't throw this away.
Okay, Buzz.
I'll tell you, the best BMs I ever had is when I was eating oatmeal every day.
Yeah.
But oatmeal has a lot of carbs, so I backed off of that.
And then the same guy sent us something that was going around his medical class. Now, this is not from a medical journal.
Okay.
These are a bunch of the doctors, or would-be doctors, the residents,
right,
came up with, since they're all involved in the butt and in poop and your digestive system, they came up with all the different definitions for different kinds of poops.
Okay.
For instance, if you are in a bathroom, a crack whore.
Mm-hmm.
A crack whore is actually not a BM, but a toilet. A toilet that has seen more ass than a Greyhound bus. Telltale signs of a crack whore include...
Oh, God.
Pubes.
Oh.
Pee stains.
Oh, yeah.
And S streaks.
Oh, God.
Avoid a crack whore at all costs.
I couldn't agree with that more.
Let me see. An escapee. An escapee is a large fart that slips out while taking a leak at the urinal. This is usually accompanied by a sudden wave of panic / embarrassment.
Yes.
This is similar to the hot flash you receive when passing an unseen police car and speeding.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If you release an escapee, do not acknowledge it. Pretend it did not happen.
That's somebody else.
Making a joke or laughing makes both parties feel uneasy.
Boy, that was loud.
Right, then you have a flyby. This is the act of scouting out a bathroom before taking a BM.
Okay.
Walk in. Check for other BMers.
Right.
If there are others in the bathroom, leave and come back again. Mm-hmm. Be careful not to become a frequent flyer. And then the next one on the list, a frequent flyer, is the person who continually walks in and out of the bathroom too frequently in search of a clear BM opportunity. What is a Havana omelet?
Oh, no.
It sounds bad.
That is a load of diarrhea that creates a series of loud splashes in the toilet water.
Oh,
often accompanied by an escapee.
Yeah, we have tape of that.
If you have a Havana outlet,
right,
you are urged to try an Astaire. As in Fred Astaire.
Okay, if you have a Havana omelet, you're urged to try an Astaire.
An Astaire is a subtle toe tap that is used to alert potential turd burglars that you are occupying a stall. This will remove all doubt that your stall is occupied.
So, you, in other words, you're trying to avoid somebody coming and rattling the door.
While you're having your Havana omelet.
I hate that.
There's a jailbreak, which is used in conjunction with the escapee. When forcing a BM, several farts slip out at a machine gun pace. This is usually a side effect of diarrhea or a hangover, like too much beer. If this should happen, do not panic. Remain in the stall until everyone's left the bathroom in order to spare everyone the awkwardness
sure.
of the jailbreak.
Of course.
Out of the closet, BMer.
Mm-hmm.
A colleague who BMs at work and is darn proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
You will often see an out-of-the-closet BMer enter the bathroom with a newspaper or magazine under their arm.
Hi.
Always look around the office for the out-of-the-closet BMer before entering the bathroom. There's the PFN. The Pooping Friends Network, a group of co-workers who band together to ensure emergency pooping goes off without incident. This group can help you to monitor the whereabouts of the out-of-the-closet BMers and identify safe havens.
Sure.
A safe haven is a seldom-used bathroom somewhere in the building where you can least expect visitors.
Oh, that's great. I wish we had one here. We don't.
Try floors that are predominantly of the opposite sex. This will reduce the odds of a pooper of your sex entering the bathroom.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to work in a really big building.
All right, a turd burglar. This is a BMer who does not realize you are in the stall and tries to force the door open.
Oh, it's horrible.
This is one of the most shocking and vulnerable moments that occur when taking a BM at work.
All they have to do is bend from the waist and look for feet.
Right. If this occurs, remain in the stall until the turd burglar leaves.
Mm-hmm.
This way you avoid all eye contact.
That is so true.
An Uncle Ted.
Oh, God.
This is a bathroom user who seems to linger around forever. Could spend extended lengths of time in front of the mirror or sitting on the bowl.
It's absurd. We've got several of these guys here at our place.
An Uncle Ted makes it difficult to relax while on the crapper, as you should always wait to drop your BM when the bathroom is empty.
I agree.
The walk of shame. Walking from the stall to the sink to the door after you've just stunk up the bathroom. This can be an uncomfortable moment if someone walks in and busts you. As with all farts, it is best to pretend that the smell does not exist. It can be avoided with the use of the common courtesy flush. And then finally you
now,
have...
That's important though to point out. It's for everybody here. I want them... The courtesy flush.
Well, you know, I didn't even read that. That is so elementary. The courtesy flush
is
the act of flushing the toilet the instant the nose cone of the BM log hits the water and the BM is whisked away to an undisclosed location.
Absolutely. It's a courtesy flush.
This reduces the amount of air time the BM has to stink up the bathroom. This
it is
can avoid you help you being caught in the walk of shame.
I just think it's important for you to read that because it is not used around here. Most people do not do the courtesy flush and they know who they are and I think they should start thinking about it.
And then there's one more, the watermelon. This is a BM that causes a loud splash when hitting the toilet water. This is also an embarrassing incident. If you feel a watermelon coming on, create a diversion. See, camel cough. And then that's the last item, camel cough.
Camel cough?
This is a phony cough, a camouflage cough.
Sure.
Which alerts all new entrants to the bathroom that you are indeed in the stall. This can be used to cover up a watermelon or to alert potential turd burglars. Very effective when the camel cough is used in conjunction with an Astaire when you are facing a Havana omelet. And that all comes from the University of Massachusetts.
Oh, bravo. They have done themselves, and they certainly they understand everything. They really do.
A really good segment they did.
And that's real, folks.
Yeah. That's Cannon Grace. He used to be our intern.
That's right. He was a record holder.
We had a farting contest one time.
He just dusted us.
Rob, do we have those tapes?
Uh-huh. There we go.
You ready to play the fart game?
Yeah, I think I might be pretty good at it by now.
You know, I don't even know where we are in this tape. You know what? Let's do this. Let's do a break. We'll come back, and we'll take a couple of calls, and we'll give away some prizes.
I just would say that tape needs to be updated, too.
Because it's been a while since we've done the farting tape. I want for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Come on, you can work one up.
I'll do the best I can. I can only...
not since we've been back from vacation.
Right.
But before vacation, in the office.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Christ.
It's the party season.
If I could lean over on the chair and say, listen to this.
And take a look. And there was, we had a great ones.
Just let it rip. Okay, you can call us now. We'll give away some prizes at 877-365-3636. We'll play the first game. We come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140 KHTK. Your home.
And he fell off of his chair.
Okay. I don't remember. I never heard of that.
That's when he was young. This is prior. I believe this one goes all the way back before the CNN days. And he was just and he just felt totally out of his mind. It was great.
If anybody out there has that tape, get it to us, because I know no one on this show will remember to do it. Myself included. Okay, now, here we go. Secret celebrity laugh number three. Yesterday, bank robbery.
Yep.
$10,000.
Yeah, then lady, Ms. Johnson picked our pocket.
You will play for 1,000 American dollars.
Wow.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Good luck. Play you the secret celebrity laugh. Please do not answer until Mike sings like
Hank Hill today.
Okay. Back to Hank Hill. That's a good sign.
Thank you very much.
We wish you...
Touch me. Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
Yes, we were hit for 10 grand yesterday. Laura Johnson from Springfield, Virginia. This is this show on WJFK. Yesterday won $10,000.
Yes.
This is a new secret celebrity. And we offer you $1,000. Who is it?
Let's go Leah Remedy.
That would be two in a row.
Oh, yeah. We're sorry.
Just a quick note to everybody listening.
We ain't that dumb.
Right. Okay?
Okay.
It's not Leah. Thank you. Second person in a row to guess Leah.
Second person to call her Leah Remedy.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for listening. Remember, every guest is a clue for you.
And unless the guy guesses the same thing twice.
Absolutely. Okay, the mystery guest...
Next break, I've been told.
Very good.
We will get a call from the headline maker.
The man. I don't know how you pulled it off. Well, I hate basketball, but I do appreciate greatness. I mean, I hate Washington Wizards basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of the NBA.
Sure.
And I think because I'm such a fan of the NBA, I was able to get you-know-who.
Oh, man, incredible.
I can't promise. Okay, I've just been told he'll call.
Well, we've gotten a confirmation from his people.
He will call within the next 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the Partridge Family's gay secret?
I saw the headline, but I did not read the article about the gay secret. It was something to do with
Jack Cassidy. Yes, it is. And it certainly is no secret, but David Cassidy now says that his dad, Jack Cassidy...
Bisexual!
That's right, he swung both ways.
Jack Cassidy.
In 1976, the 49-year-old actor... Jack Cassidy.
Hello there, David. I have intercourse with both men and women.
Best known for his guest shots in the 60s and 70s TV show Died of Smoke Inhalation.
Jack Cassidy's died.
Well, I'll try to escape from firing his L.A. apartment.
There's more of me to go around for both men and women. I'm
Jack Cassidy.
That's right. That's why simply being for one sex was not good enough for Jack Cassidy.
David, get Sean. I have something to tell you.
Your father... is a bisexual.
Shirley?
Jack Cassidy.
This is Jack Cassidy.
I'm Jack Cassidy. Who will it be tonight? Men or women?
I pitch and I catch.
Because I can, I'm Jack Cassidy.
One of my sons is on the Partridge Family. Another one of my sons is on the Hardy Boys. How would you like to do it with me? Because I'm Jack Cassidy.
Ah, boy, I think I'll have a cigarette before I pass out.
Oh, hope there's not a fire. That is exactly what happened. Jack Cassidy reportedly had been drinking in the evening and passed out while smoking a cigarette. The police concluded on the last night, Jack Cassidy went out drinking with some gay friends.
Hello, gay friends. Would you like to join Jack Cassidy for a drink? Jack Cassidy's ready to play. What a marvelous party this is. Time for Jack Cassidy to drift off to sleep. What a day.
I pitch, I catch, I go both ways. Because I can. I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual.
Yes, sir. You can tell the bisexual side of me. It's my neatly trimmed Van Dyke beard.
I'm not married to Shirley Jones.
I'm not.
I am not, I tell you.
I am not.
I will tell you, villain. I'm Jack Cassidy.
But was he married to Shirley Jones?
He was.
Who
was David Cassidy's real mother, then? It wasn't Shirley Jones, right?
No, it wasn't. That was, I guess, like his stepmom.
I take that back. Shirley? I'm married to you.
I am Jack Cassidy.
And I am bisexual.
Even though I am bisexual, I still want you to change your name to Shirley Cassidy.
Shirley? You're not woman enough for me. Where's my ascot? Ascot. Which one should I wear? The blue or the pink tonight? Shirley? This is Jack Cassidy. I'm in the mood for man meat tonight. I'm going out for the prowl.
Turn the light off. When you're going upstairs, I'll stay down here and I'll amuse myself with the glow from my lips to your head. I'm Jack Cassidy.
Shirley? I'm gay. I like men.
But I like women, too.
I'll still do you because I'm Jack Cassidy.
Don't you wish you were me?
Shirley?
Of course you do.
Listen, someday when I'm dead, David, who I hate, will write a book about me, Jack Cassidy. Say all sorts of ugly, horrible things, but remember, that's not the real Jack Cassidy. I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual. Want to make something of it?
I play some of the finest villains on network television.
Want to suck rump with me, Jack Cassidy? I'm an Asperger.
Where are my blue briefs?
I'm Jack Cassidy.
I will slip into these briefs for an evening out of town and come back and fall asleep with my lit cigarette.
David, gone. I admire other men's asses.
I certainly do. But women's are okay, too. I'm bisexual. Why, you ask?
Because I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual. Someday, Shirley, David will write a book about me. Jealous prick.
Lies about Jack Cassidy.
He'll write that I burned myself to death with a cigarette after I passed out from drinking, and that I'm bisexual.
I'll tell you lies, pack of lies, about the lovely Jack Cassidy and his pretty dress. That are my dresses. I have one closet full of suits, and the other full of dresses, and the other full of dickies.
I love your Partridge Family clothes with your big puppy sleeves, because I'm Jack Cassidy, and I'm Captain Bisexual.
Ah, the brightly colored puppy shirts.
Shirley, service me. I'm in the need for a woman.
But before you do, I want you to put on a business suit. One of mine with a tie like a man. There you are.
Because I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
And I'm bisexual.
We will do it like doggies. Yes.
David, it's me, your father, Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
Tell Reuben Kincaid. I desire him.
Send him up to the castle. Cassidy Castle.
Ah, Kincaid.
Fantastic.
I'm Cassidy, Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual.
I'm Jack Cassidy, and I want to see your acidity.
I like that Monoducci boy.
Oh.
David, kiss me, your father, Jack Cassidy.
I'm Jack Cassidy. No one can stop my velocity.
Sorry. David surely can't keep up with me. I do her, but I enjoy the company of men because I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy,
bisexual.
Hello, Bonaducci. Oh, your ass is red, too.
Yes, sir, I'm Jack Cassidy. David,
like the little boy who plays the drums.
I want to meet him. I'm Jack Cassidy. Oh, my God, David. It's me, your father, Jack Cassidy. On the next lot, they're shooting Happy Days. I just saw Richie Cunningham and Patsy Weber. Would they like to meet Jack Cassidy? I'm bisexual. I'm Jack Cassidy.
I'm talking clench my teeth at the same time. Oh, boy, I have to do a get-stop on Cannon.
I just saw Arthur Fondarelli. God, I want him. I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual.
Oh, hello, Mike Connors. I enjoy Mannix. Come back to the Cassidy Castle.
I do women.
But only for show. There you are.
Shirley, let's go to a Hollywood party. I'll drape you on my arm and pretend that we're a happy couple
and
the whole time.
And I will clench this cigarette holder softly in my teeth
because I'm Chuck Cassidy. The whole time I'll be dreaming about Jim Nabors. Because I'm Jack Cassidy and I'm bisexual.
And Sergeant Carter.
And Ronnie Shell. The entire cast of Gomer Pyle, I've had them all.
Ronnie Shell makes me grind my teeth.
I'm Jack Cassidy and I'm bisexual.
Fantastic, David.
God. Shirley. It's me, Jack Cassidy. Chuck Cassidy. I'll fight you for Marty Engels. I want him.
He's not as sharp a dresser as I am.
Does he satisfy you in bed, Shirley?
Are his suits pressed just so?
I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual.
Jack Cassidy. Look at my hair. Perfectly combed. My beard, perfectly trimmed. You don't need Engels, sloppy mustache boy.
I just got done filming a Columbo. My third Columbo. I've done two McLeods, two Columbos, and I'm on the NBC mystery movie. Now come here and service me. I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
And I'm bisexual.
Yippee-yay-yay, Jack Cassidy.
David, promise me this. When I die burning myself to death with a cigarette, when I'm passed out drunk, don't write in a book I'm bisexual and Jack Cassidy.
Don't do that to me, David. That is unfair to your father, Jack Cassidy.
I have news for you, boy. I did McMillan and White. And I mean I did the show and I did them both. Because I'm Jack Cassidy and I'm bisexual, damn it.
I'm very proud of it, thank you.
Jack Cassidy.
Thank you.
Well, Lieutenant Columbo.
I didn't do the murder. Would you like to come back later and interview me, Columbo?
I'm Jack Cassidy.
Ah, yes, Columbo. Slip out of that trench coat.
I'm bisexual.
I'll come at you from your bad side, Peter Falk, because I'm Jack Cassidy.
My three sons? You bet. Had them all, and Uncle Charlie, too.
Hello, Fred MacMurray. I'm Jack Cassidy. Would you like to come over?
I'm bisexual.
I'm making daiquiris. Join me, won't you, please?
I was involved with Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch. Because I'm Jack Cassidy, and I'm bisexual.
There wasn't a major TV star that I didn't have. I'm Jack Cassidy.
Male, female.
I had them all, including a few who were in between.
My smoking jacket, David. I'm Jack Cassidy.
Let's invite Charles Nelson Rising to the party for amusement.
He's so queer.
I'll loan him one of my fluffy suits. Lovely, Jack Cassidy.
And I'm Jack Cassidy, and I'm bisexual.
Let me shout it from mountains on high. I'm Jack Cassidy, and I'm bi.
I was drinking earlier in the evening and passed out while smoking a cigarette. That's how I set myself on fire, David. I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
And I'm bisexual.
Archibald, what a day.
So that's the story.
Yes.
That is the Partridge Family's gay secret.
Mm-hmm.
That David Cassidy has now come out and said that his dad, Jack, was a bisexual.
And you might have gathered that we were fans of the late Jack Cassidy.
Loved him.
It was a nice tribute.
Yeah,
probably one of the more obscure people we've talked about on this show. But boy, I'll tell you, if you ever saw his work, he stood out.
I think we are reaching a very small portion of our audience, but who cares? Because I'm Jack Cassidy and I'm bisexual.
That's right, Jack Cassidy lovers. They're enjoying it, and there are a few of them, but they are passionate about Jack Cassidy.
I've done Adam 12, I've done Dragnet, and I just did Emergency, where I had a mustard jar up my ass. I'm Jack Cassidy and I'm bisexual. I've been on every network show, David. Every show.
Oh, this is very exciting. Time to do Ed Sullivan. Time to do Study and Share. Jack Cassidy.
Surely it's Jack. They want us to do the pyramid again.
Come with me, Shirley. We'll knock them dead. You, because you're a star, and me, because I'm
Jack Cassidy. And I'm bisexual.
I have a bowling trophy up there now.
All right. We're on one of our tangents right now.
Who the funk is
servicing just a very small part of our audience.
Sometimes you just have to get it out of your system.
Right.
But that percentage loves it because I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy, and it's very addictive to keep talking like Jack Cassidy.
I'm bisexual.
So that is the
secret, big secret. Who didn't know that?
Okay, well, almost. We're running late. When we come back, major celebrity on the show, please stay tuned.
National and local here in Washington D.C.
Worldwide star.
So we got to be on our best behavior.
Got to do some kiss ass,
please. Here we go. This will be big.
Hello?
Michael Jordan, please. Don and Mike Show, we are on the air.
Speaking.
MJ.
Yes? Is this Don?
Yeah, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air. Michael Jordan.
Yeah, this is MJ. Good to talk to you. I'm the new president of basketball operations for the Bucks.
To change the name of the team, Michael, to change the name of the Wizards.
The Wizards, I mean. I'm really happy, you know, for your call.
Don and Mike, Don and Mike Show?
Yeah, I'm really happy, you know, I'm not going to be playing the game, but I'm going to be running the team.
Is it really Michael Jordan?
Uh-huh. It is.
Is this the same person that called our producer to say that Michael Jordan would be available for a phoner today?
No, that was my assistant person.
And who's that? Can I have that person's name, please?
And that's Mr. Smith. Because I did all my stuff, you know, because I'm busy.
So Michael?
I'm MJ. I have to do a commercial in a few minutes. I'm doing a commercial for Mike, and I'm going to, I'm really looking forward to it.
Can you explain to me either a triple post or the triangle offense? Why don't you explain to me Phil Jackson's Chicago Bulls triangle offense? Michael?
Hello?
Explain to me the nuances of the triangle offense.
The nuances, the offense we ran, that's the one that we ran with the Bulls when I was the best player, and we all were happy because we all. Wait a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I hear something in the background. I hear something in the background.
All right, of course.
It's not Michael Jordan.
I just want
to say something. I don't believe this is Michael Jordan. And I don't appreciate the fact that there has been a hoax perpetuated on us today.
This is Michael Jordan.
Can you name two other members of the Chicago Bulls championship teams you played with?
Oh, yeah. The team that I played on?
Right. You won six championships with them.
There was Larry Bird?
No, incorrect.
He played on another team.
Yeah. What team did he play for?
The Green team, I think.
Who is this? This is not Michael Jordan. I'm tired. I'm getting pissed off. Who is this?
It's me, Don.
Who's me?
It's Charlie.
Charlie?
I'm sorry. Charlie Boy made me do it.
Oh, Charlie.
Charlie said to Michael Jordan, I said I'd call him out.
Hey, Charlie. And you're using your grown-up voice and everything, right?
Yeah.
Now, is that your...
It's the grown-up voice that I ever did. And I didn't do it. You didn't believe me. And I thought it was the best.
Space Jam?
Space Jam, yeah. I get him confused, too. I love Space Jam.
All right, well, don't cry.
Mom?
Yes, Charlie.
I know a lot about Michael Jordan. He's really, really good. When you're in a hot dog commercial, he jumps up and eats a hot dog. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Ballpark Frank.
Ballpark Frank. And he's played in Space Jam. Here they play all the cartoons.
So,
Michael Jordan helps them.
Who came to you? Did you say Charlie Boyle came to you with this idea? What? How did he get you to do this?
He told me that if I didn't do Michael Jordan, then I wouldn't be able to come back to the station and work for you.
Oh, well, he lied to you.
I did. He said because Ben Stevens is in the
anymore. And Mr. Nylon doesn't like me.
Oh, that's not true. Has Charlie Boyhill burned you with cigarettes again?
No. He doesn't do that anymore. You know what he does?
What does he do now?
Puts my fingers on a hammer.
Oh.
Out of the can. He hit it so... One time he hit it really hard, my baby finger.
Yeah.
And the other one he hit it so hard that he broke his tail off.
Oh, my God.
Well, what happened?
It broke out. Oh, my body parts, too. No, he hit me with a hammer.
He's very mean to you. I don't know why you would continue to do, make these phony phone calls for him.
One time he threw a pot of coffee on me. Hot coffee.
He threw a pot of hot coffee on you.
He hit me and saw he poured it right in my mouth. And he was smiling and laughing. And said, don't worry, if you just burn, your skin will grow back. It hurt me really bad.
What else did he do to you?
There was one time where I was downstairs and he asked me to go down and wash his car. And I was trying to arm around on the wheels. And I got in his car and he ran over.
He ran over your head?
He ran over my head. Just
a good son. And what happened? After your head fell off, what happened?
It always does.
Charlie, yeah. Goodbye, Charlie. Well... I should have known. Yeah. We never get anybody important on this show, for God's sake. Like, Buddy Upson's the most important we ever get.
Yeah, but could Michael Jordan's hand grow back?
Michael Jordan's head.
Beetlejuice's head. That's pretty amazing stuff.
Charlie Broyley. He's quite an angry man.
That's the quiet ones you always have to watch out for.
Quite a mean man. Okay, not Michael Jordan.
No.
Shocker, we didn't get Michael Jordan.
You figured that out.
Shocker. We do have a couple of choices for the wacky story files.
All right.
Let me set this up for you. We have a phone number for the girl with kaleidoscope eyes. The girl who spent $4,000 to go on a date with Gary Coleman.
Oh, boy, and then when he was doing all that stuff on the net.
Right, this was in the news, and he's bankrupt, and he had a website, and some lady, because she wants to be a TV star,
right,
paid $4,000 to go on a date with Gary Coleman because she thought it would make her famous. It hasn't.
I'd like to find out if they went all the way.
We have her phone number. One of the worst guests we've ever had on this show is in the news. Uri Geller.
Oh, Uri Geller, who walked out of the studio.
Uri Geller came in here one time, and he tried to pull a scam on us.
Yeah.
Where he was pretending to bend spoons and to bend car keys, except he had extra bent spoons and car keys in his pocket.
Yeah, we wanted him, he was running some kind of game where he wanted to promote something, and we didn't want to talk about it, we just wanted him to bend spoons.
And we busted him on the fact that he had all this stuff, all these props already in his pocket.
Right.
And when we pushed the issue with him, he got up and he left.
Yeah, he walked right out of the studio.
Well, for some reason, he is suing Nintendo about something to do with Pokemon. There's some Pokemon character that is based on Uri Geller.
Sounds like he's trying to get his name back in the news.
Of course, we have Uri Geller's phone number. Maybe the best story of the day is a lady in Memphis who's making unique jewelry using baby teeth.
Oh.
She says the inspiration for her baby teeth necklaces...
That's a little creepy.
...came about after her children lost their baby teeth. Now she has turned this into a cottage industry, making baby teeth necklaces, baby teeth charms, and baby teeth earrings.
Now, you see her walking down the street with pliers in her hands. You know, get the children inside.
Now, it's $40 for a single tooth charm and a pearl necklace decorated with several baby teeth.
Man.
Costs $400.
Sure. Where did she get the teeth? We need to talk to this woman.
Right. We'll call one of these people when we come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
We give away a lot of cash on the Don and Mike Show. But sometimes we've been out to ourselves. Like, for instance, $10,000 for naming a secret celebrity laugh.
Who is that?
TV's Ryle Wagner. Oh, my God!
You have just won
$10,000.
Wow.
Nobody
gets
in trouble.
Yeah, you did, but you're happy, aren't you?
I'm ecstatic.
Can we hear a scream? Because you won $10,000.
$10,000.
How about this?
We're not even close to being done yet. Your chance to win up to 10 G's is coming up. So don't go anywhere. You could be saying hello to a cool 10 large. And we could be saying so long to our budget and maybe our job. So listen while you can. The $10,000 Secret Celebrity Lab.
Oh, my gosh, I'm thinking.
Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Lee, I told you it would work.
Having a beer, listening to the Don and Mike Show. True, true.
What's up?
We're going to start with the lady who makes the jewelry out of baby teeth.
Yeah, because I think it's a little creepy.
This is the order.
Baby teeth.
Yeah. Gary Coleman girlfriend.
Right.
Yuri Geller.
Okay, we got three phone numbers.
Very good.
Three possible bits for the wacky story file.
All right. Bring it.
So we'll start by calling Memphis.
Long distance information. Give me Memphis, Tennessee.
Where we are going to call Tooth Fairy Designs, where this lady takes baby teeth and turns them into jewelry. Now, who would wear these? Some barbarian would wear this stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
even if it was your own kid,
it's gross. It'd
still be a little weird.
It's gross. Who wants to wear baby teeth as jewelry?
I mean, you bronze the, shoes and stuff.
You have reached the offices of Baby Love, sentimental jewelry made with your child's baby teeth.
Awesome.
To request a Baby Love brochure, please press 1. If you have a question about an existing Baby Love order, please press 2. If you have other questions or comments or concerns, please press 3. And at the tone, leave your name, full telephone number, comment. The experts at Baby Love will respond to your call.
Well, Robin, ask if they can give some of Ed McMahon's teeth if she can make his book in.
Shut up.
Hello? What's wrong with you? I have concerns.
I have big concerns. We think that this is not right, baby teeth. It's weird.
This is Jack Cassidy.
Don't take the poor baby's teeth to make simple jewelry.
I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual. I never took David's teeth or Sean's teeth and turned them into some kind of jewelry, because I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual.
You may be wondering why Jack Cassidy is so concerned. It's because I, in fact, am the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, no.
Jack Cassidy.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
We can't hear it.
Listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, message review.
Hello? What's wrong with you? I have concerns. I have big concerns. We think this is not right, baby Steve. It's just weird.
Jack Cassidy.
Don't take the poor baby's teeth to make simple jewelry.
I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual. I never took David's teeth or Sean's teeth and turned them into some kind of jewelry, because I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual.
You may be wondering why Jack Cassidy is so concerned. It's because I, in fact, am the Tooth Fairy. Jack Cassidy.
If you're satisfied with your message, press 1.
Yeah.
To send your message with normal delivery, press 1.
With urgency.
To send your message with urgent delivery, press 2. Thank you.
All
your
right.
message has been sent.
That old six-star wagon.
Thank you. Second story we're trying this time, my big date with little Gary Coleman.
Little Gary Coleman.
Little Gary, L-I-L. She paid $4,025. Her name is Jennifer Vandenberg.
Okay.
She is 6'2" and a former college basketball player. He is 4'7".
So she thought this was her ticket to stardom.
Hasn't worked out.
Well, that's a shame. Yeah, it's not, it's Gary Coleman.
I don't know which is a bigger waste of money, this or that couple we had on yesterday paid $130,000 in that stupid Today Show book.
I'll tell you, how much did he spend for the date with Gary Coleman?
$4,025.
That's tough. It's a toss-up.
I think the people with the Today Show book got the better deal.
You're probably right.
She had to go out to eat with him.
Like, go to clubs with him and stuff.
So she could be seen with him.
Go clubbing. I hope he didn't punch it.
Please leave a message. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks.
Oh, she's not there. Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer.
This is Jack Cassidy.
We're very curious about your date with Gary Coleman.
Perhaps you know me. I'm Jack Cassidy. I'm bisexual. I'm the father of David Cassidy and Sean Cassidy. You probably wanted to date them also.
I used to know Conrad Bain on the Gary Show quite well. He was an enormous fan of me, Jack Cassidy.
Have I mentioned I'm Jack Cassidy? I died smoking a cigarette, drunk, stench-ridden room of Fleabag Hotel. But still, as I died, I thought of only one thing. Having sex with Gary Coleman. I'm bisexual. I'm Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy, you may hear that and say, what you talking about? But I'm talking about Gary Coleman and me.
Jack Cassidy.
I guess we can't hear it all.
That's a shame.
Someday.
That's a shame.
All right, well, hopefully Yuri will be home, because I don't know if we can do the Jack Cassidy thing three times in a row.
Yeah, we'll
have to wait and see. Yuri Geller.
Well, we're trying. We've got good stories. There's nobody's home when we call.
No, that's the country. No one's home.
All right, here's why Yuri Geller is suing Nintendo. This is ridiculous. There is, anybody that has kids knows about Pokemon.
Oh, God.
There is an evil Pokemon character who carries two bent spoons in his hands, and he has the ability to induce headaches. His name is Alakazam.
That doesn't sound anything like Yuri Geller.
But apparently in Japan, he's called Un-Geller.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so Yuri Geller is suing Nintendo for $105 million.
That's a serious offense.
We have Yuri Geller's phone number in London.
Hold on, give me a second here, because there's like a million numbers.
They don't do it nice and easy like we do.
Right.
And we mentioned that Yuri Geller was busted on this show for faking a bending spoon.
Right.
He was on The Tonight Show a couple of months ago. And he actually did Ben Spoons for Jay Leno.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he failed 30 years ago on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
So Johnny
unnerved him.
So he came back, huh?
Yeah.
He came back on The Tonight
Show. Once Johnny was gone.
Well, I'm trying to make you a soul.
Johnny. Hello?
Yes, hello. Is Yuri there, please?
Who's calling, please?
This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're calling from America. We're on the air right now.
Oh, hang on 1 second.
Thank you.
William?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, everybody.
Think he'll remember us? Not a chance.
No.
I don't think so.
It was a failed interview.
Right. But maybe he remembers it because he walked out. I can't imagine that Yuri Geller has walked out of too many interviews before.
Right. We'll have to wait and see.
Every Friday and Saturday.
What the hell is this we're listening to?
Yes, for a while now, Volkswagen has been giving you more for your money.
That's simple. Is this a business?
Quality.
It's like midnight. The buzz is almost midnight in London now?
Yeah, it should be 11.
Hello, Yuri.
No, he's not here.
Oh, darn it.
We were just calling to ask him about the whole thing with Nintendo.
Okay, either you can reach him on his mobile.
Oh, on his cell phone. I have that number right here. Do you think he's available on that number now?
Yes, of course, because he's on the way home now. He should be home in about, I don't know, half an hour or 40 minutes.
All right, I'll try him on his cell phone then.
Okay, who's calling, please?
Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. All right. You know what's ridiculous? I have a cell phone number for Yuri Geller.
Wow. Oh, we got all the numbers for Yuri Geller.
Of course we do. He's not famous.
He's on his way home.
He could like the publicity.
Maybe we can ask Yuri if he ever met Jack Cassidy. He's been in show business a long time.
Yuri, I'd like you to bend my spoon.
Please do it for me as a favor to Jack Cassidy.
I'm bisexual. Buzz?
Yes.
I've just heard the weather report.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very good chance that Jack Cassidy will be appearing during your newscast tonight.
I look forward to this.
Partly Jack Cassidy. Increasing Cassidy.
Hello?
Hello, Yuri.
Hello, who's that?
Is this Yuri? This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now. How are you, Yuri?
I'm okay.
You're not Yuri?
Yes, I am, Yuri.
Hey, Yuri, do you remember us? You walked off our show about 5 years ago. We don't hold any grudges.
I don't hold any grudges against you either.
Would you mind talking to us on the radio right now?
Not at all. I'm on my mobile phone, so.
Yeah, it sounds a little mobile right now, but we wanted to say hi.
Hi to you both.
Hey, Yuri.
If I hurt your feelings, then I apologize.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, us too.
But I felt sort of very uncomfortable just walking into your studio, and I don't know, I just felt that I was being attacked, so
He remembers
us. I said I won't take that, and I walked out, so I apologize.
He remembers us. Well,
well, that's nice.
We apologize also. We did not mean to attack you, sir.
That's very nice of you. I very much remember you both because I drove over to your studio for about 2 hours.
That's right, Sven. I remember that. That's right. He actually did. Listen, you bent spoons for Jay Leno, right?
I almost did.
You almost did?
Did you enjoy the show?
Yeah, Buzz, you saw the show, right?
No, I just simply read a report about it.
No.
You successfully bent spoons. Is that true?
Actually, it was a very tough show for me to do.
Yeah, because you had the history with Carson and all that,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. 27 years ago, Carson tried to humiliate us for 22 minutes. He had 22 agonizing minutes on national TV.
And you were the way Buzz told us, our news guy, is that you were successful when you went on with Jay Leno. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say it was an interesting story. He was open-minded, but I must tell you something interesting that very few people know. I tried to do telepathy with him, but it just didn't work.
Maybe he's not bright enough.
And then what happened, just before going on the show, 2 minutes before I was asked to go out, I was basically not going to do anything. So I ran quickly to the bathroom, and instead of going to the bathroom, I actually entered Tim Robbins' dressing room. So there was Tim Robbins sitting, and I told him, look, Tim, I can't do telepathy with Jay, but will you think of a drawing and I'll try to read your mind? And he said, yeah, I'll do it. And it worked.
Mm-hmm. And what was the drawing that he was thinking of?
He actually drew a very unusual drawing, a snail.
Of what?
A snail.
A snail.
And it was very bizarre. No one ever drew a snail for me before.
And you were able to pick up that he was doing a snail?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right, well, listen, Yuri, we just wanted to call to say hi. How is your lawsuit against Nintendo going?
Well, it's in the hands of my lawyers. I'm very upset about the fact that Nintendo, without asking my permission, slapped my name on a Pokemon character. At least they should have been ethical and either called me up or asked my lawyers. I would have never given permission for my name to be used as a negative character. This is a little umbrella that produces publishing people, which I don't do.
Right. Well, listen, we just wanted to call to say hi, and I guess we can officially end our feud with Yuri Geller.
Absolutely. The feud is over, and anytime you want to come back on the show and, read our minds or something like that, please do.
Well, first of all, I thank you very much for calling me. That's very gallant of you. I never had a feud with you. I actually admire you both.
Thank you. And, Yuri, I hope that I can see you and say to your face, get bent. Get it?
All right, bless you both.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you want to know the way to take the teeth out of our mouth, it's to apologize twice at the beginning of the interview.
Yeah, what can I say?
The guy that's going back. He remembered, every detail. That's weird to me.
You know, he probably really hates us as much as he hates Johnny Carson.
Right.
Johnny Carson kept him on national TV for 22 agonizing minutes. We kept him on national radio for, 10 agonizing minutes.
Oh, we forgot to ask him about one person.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, another time we'll call Yuri. We have his cell phone number.
Fantastic, Jack Cassidy.
Yes. What is your lead story tonight on the news of the comments?
Tonight, Ted Turner throws his support behind John Walker.
He's a crazy kid.
Yeah, really.
That's what he says, right?
Yeah.
He
is something along that line.
Yeah, crazy kid. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Mike Show, that was very
professional. This is the Don and Mike Show. This is Sports 1140 KCK.
Hey, Katina, where are all those used cars going?
Gee, Paul, I don't know. Maybe to another dealer to stock one of those mega used car sales. You see, those are the Melrath and Honda rejects. Hi, this is Katina Rapton for Melrath and Honda. With the Melrath and Honda meter beat price policy, Melrath has been selling a lot of new Hondas. That means a lot of used car trade-ins. But not every trade-in makes it to the Melrath and used car.
Touché, I agree with you.
What did Rocket do to you, sir?
I'm in a bar in Columbia, right? My phone rings. I didn't get to it. I go and check my voicemail, and there's some idiot, laughing on there. I'm like, what the hell? I call back, and it was your number, Donna Mike's number.
So I call back. I'm like, yo, did you just call me? He's like, no, I didn't call you. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I just got a phone call from you guys. And he, like, starts cussing at me. I'm like, what's your problem?
Were you a jerk when you called him?
No, I wasn't a jerk when I called him.
Was he a jerk to you?
Yeah. He's always a jerk. You guys should fire him. I mean, quit. Seriously, you guys should get a monkey to do his job.
I maintain that. I don't know which side to fall out on this one, really.
Well, yeah. Can we get to Mr. Rocket to come in here to defend himself?
You mentioned he's in a pissy mood today.
Yes, yeah. Perfect opportunity.
How about this? We're coming to the Las Vegas South Show. How about I talk to him there?
Is that a threat?
Sure.
What's your contact?
Unfortunately, Rockhead doesn't need to testify.
Game, set, and match to Michael Rockhead.
Way to go, Mikey Rockhead. We're behind you. See?
Very nice.
Justified.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very nice.
Okay, hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Well, Atlanta Braves owner Ted Turner says because pitcher John Rocker has apologized for his highly publicized remarks, that means in the remake of Gettysburg, Ted's going to put him in the gray suit. Turner says those remarks shouldn't be held against John forever. Now, here's the good part, and here's why I chose this story. Turner tells CNN's Moneyline, that's right, he was a guest on his own network. He told Moneyline that Rocker's talent influenced public reaction, saying that if Rocker couldn't get batters out, his comments wouldn't have been much of a problem. So, apparently, he's saying racism more forgivable if you're a good player.
That's the latest from Ted.
You know what I think they ought to do, really, is the next Civil War epic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you put Rocker in the bad guy uniform.
Frankly, I don't know why people give a flying F what John Rocker thinks.
That's a good point, but especially in Atlanta, where protests continue. I mean, people have been marching up and down outside of Ted Turner's CNN headquarters and the Atlanta Braves and everything else.
The only thing that's ridiculous about this is that I did see John Rocker on television.
Mm-hmm.
Having a meeting with, who's the dude who used to be the mayor of Atlanta?
Andrew Young.
Yes, and Hank Aaron.
Right.
And I went back and I reread the Sports Illustrated article that has the picture of John Rocker wearing his WWF wrestling camouflage hunting outfit.
Right.
And in the whole article where he slammed foreigners, gays, Asians, bad drivers, he never said anything bad about anybody black.
Really?
Never. I went back and reread the article.
Well, maybe it's just because of the whole insensitivity issue. And Hank Aaron, Hank Aaron has that track record where he's doing the home run thing, so maybe they just want...
Hank Aaron works for the Braves. I understand that.
I didn't know what this dude who was the former mayor of Atlanta was doing there.
The thing a lot of people had picked up on, and whether this is interpreted correctly or not, I don't know, but the thing they picked up on from the Sports Illustrated interview was that John Rocker had referred to one of his black teammates as a fat monkey.
No, but see, he had come out after the article and said he was talking about a Latino guy.
He said that
on the team, and then the Latino guy said, if he ever said that to my face, I'd beat the crap out of him.
Right.
So, I mean, he kind of qualified that. I just think it's crazy for us that anybody gives a crap what John Rocker thinks.
Right.
I mean, the guy was stupid to say that stuff to a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
They printed it. I don't know why it won't go away. I mean, who really gives a rat's ass what John Rocker thinks?
I think one of the reasons it won't go away is when you were talking about that interview, the first interview that he did after the fact, when he just... really was unable to accept personal responsibility for it. And he's not bright enough. Yeah, he's first of all not bright enough because he makes those comments to start with, but then he's not bright enough just to come out and end it. I think those things truly will end and you get on with your life as soon as you just say, hey, I'm an a-hole, I'm an idiot, I was stupid, I'm sorry. He didn't do that because remember you were talking about all the qualifiers?
Everything had some sort of consequence. Well, yes, I said this, but the New York fans spit on me.
But they threw batteries at me.
Right, yeah.
I think it is going away, but that was Ted Turner's two cents on the subject.
The way it looked on television was like a black-white issue, which is the point I was bringing up.
Right.
He was sitting in a room with a bunch of black guys, and I went back and read the article and thought, you know what? If he sits with anybody, he should be sitting with gay people, with Asian people.
Right.
But then I thought about it even further, and I thought, why is John Rocker even having to sit down with Hank Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who cares? Shouldn't John Rocker really be seeing, like, a psychologist or something?
Yes.
I mean, I don't think Hank Aaron,
or actually
the greatest home run hitter of all time, is qualified to counsel John Rocker.
Right. Well, the thing about Hank Aaron is because I think the reason Hank Aaron's involved in that, and they also got Hank Aaron together with Tiger Woods, when Tiger Woods was getting death threats when he was, when he started out on the tour, mm-hmm. they get Hank Aaron because apparently Hank Aaron has a file of all the mail that he got from,
yeah, that's right.
You know, from those people sure. when he was
close to breaking Babe Ruth's record.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons they do that. But, I mean, John Bonker, I don't think he needs a psychologist. I think he just, if they could, just remove the brain and put something new one in there.
There you go.
See, I mean, the thing that where he really demonstrated his true colors is when they did the post interview. You know, the
Peter Gammons on ESPN.
It was ridiculous. I mean, the guy just does not get it.
I told you I wanted to give him the perfect stage.